Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday. That's just the start of my work week. I work 8 days a week. Yeah, I know there's seven. It's a joke. Figure of speech. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Friday, the 17th day of August, 2012. We're way more than halfway into the end of the world year. Of course, I don't think it's going to be the end of the world. I think you're going to see big things in 2012 because the globalists have planned that. But you watch, next year when it's not the end of the world, there will be mainstream dinosaur corporate Decepticon media, sewer stream media, saying, I said the world would end this year. Now, it may be the end of the world as we know it, though. Wow, there is so much to go over today. He was on Sunday, and there was so much to discuss. I'm getting back on because of big development since then. Always informative and interesting. Max Kaiser will be joining us in the second hour. And then in studio, Joe Bannister and his lawyer. Joe Bannister, former Treasury agent who exposed the fact that the IRS is a collection agency for the private Federal Reserve. They then arrested him for his free speech. He beat him in court thanks to that evil thing called juries. So we're going to be going over that as well. But I'm going to smatter throughout the transmission the unbelievable news. Pentagon developing autonomous humanoid robots. Wait for it. They've been doing this for decades. And they're killer robots, but they're classified. I've told you about that. To perform evacuation operations, don't run. We are your friends. Kind of like the Bradley fighting vehicle ramming in and machine gunning and starting a fire on the Branch Davidians with bullhorns. Come out with your hands up. We're here to help. We come in peace. You know how that ends, don't you? Everything's fine, though. They love you. But the drones were going to be for humanitarian reasons. I mean, yeah, so they said that last year in the U.S. We're only rolling them out for humanitarian and public safety and law enforcement and weaponizing them. 1.4 billion bullets, but Alex Jones is wrong to be criticizing it. Yeah, we've had George Soros group come out and say, I'm evil, don't worry about the bullets. They don't discuss the 1.4 billion bullets, though. They don't discuss that. They just say, oh, with the, they, Alex made it up that the National Weather Service was buying a whole bunch of bullets. Really, the federal purchase order said they were. And now they say, well, actually a subgroup of organization. So they play the semantical game and then spin it again and say, Alex Jones just made it up. The government's buying bullets. Everybody knows that the government is not building up and arming against you. And everybody knows the government's loving and good. Everybody knows George Soros is a good man. And everybody knows Bill Clinton didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. And everybody knows. Obama's out saying Romney needs to release his tax returns. Not defending. You know, not a big fan of Romney, as everyone knows. I'm not in love with a guy that's anti-gun, pro-abortion, and all that stuff. But here's the deal. Obama won't release any of his college records when all his friends said he had the name Barry Sotero. Because the word is he was getting free tuition as a foreign student on a grant. And a bunch of other stuff. So I want to see all that. I mean, we're seeing stuff like Romney killed a woman with breast cancer because he fired her husband and he lost his insurance. Folks, when they get their government-run health care, they say, of course, Romney wrote that, so you ought to be happy. I love him criticizing Romney, saying he doesn't like government-run health care. He helped write it because he works for the big banks that want it. But, yeah, you want to die and not get surgery or get health care, try having a socialist system. Oh, no, it's great in Europe. It's all free. Oh, really? You've been to Europe? You talk to Europeans? You know the numbers? Listen, that's not even the issue. I was wrong to tell you blimps were coming over every city. It's now been announced today. And we've got huge news on QE3. I'm glad Kaiser's coming up. And we have got so much more. It is a jam-packed extravaganza of resistance straight ahead.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
It is a big Friday. The forces of liberty are fighting back worldwide in a big way, but the faces of global corporate anti-free market are striking back through their collectivist tyrannies, all the different flavors of it, socialism, communism, fascism, corporatism, sitting up on top of it, perching up there, trying to create a monopoly system of cookie-cutter controlled minions. Wow. It is Friday. Kaiser's coming up. We're going to get into QE3. I've got to say, this is our top story. Fox Business, Financial Times of London, they're all reporting that for the first time that they are going to pretty much do QE3 by the end of the year. The globalists like to hang it out there and wait so that they know the time when they're going to do it to be able to position themselves. But chance of Fed printing more money jumps to 60%. That's foxbusiness.com. And I've got a bunch of other articles saying basically a similar thing. And when you've got George Soros just jumping into gold with both feet and not just ending his big brokerage firm last year and not investing people's money, he's dumping his own money out of stocks and bonds and everything right now. And so are a bunch of other globalists. We've got a big stack of financial news we're going to be covering with Max Kaiser. So I'll wait till he's on with us in the next hour. And then in studio, a former Treasury agent will be joining us in studio. He was on for about 15 minutes earlier in the week on the phone. Joe Bannister with his lawyer, because when he went public and said, I found out the IRS works for the private Federal Reserve, they arrested him for his free speech. But the jury said, we're still America. He's going to go free. But other IRS agents and Treasury agents and people that write books are now going to prison if you expose the big secret, because they got to jail you or kill you. When the public finds out that we got the IRS in 1913, didn't really start paying taxes till the 40s and 50s, mid-40s into the early 50s, they phased it in, and that not one cent, as Ronald Reagan's commission found in 81, but the Grace Commission, not one cent goes to run the country. But it's one thing if I say that, when Treasury agents and IRS senior fraud investigators go public, when they're rising up through the organization, have everything to lose, they arrest them. They've sent quite a few to jail. I mean, they're talking about trying to jail whoever went to the Inspector General of the Treasury with the fact that in Austin, Texas alone, 10 homes, because this all started here in Austin, the big national clearing center for fraud is here, and then a five-state total clearing center. That's kind of an oxymoron, the IRS clearing center for fraud is here when the whole thing's a fraud. And again, this news was so big months ago when I learned about it from my whistleblowers. I never codified it, never properly vetted it, never did the report. In fact, I even have more info that's in the news, and I'm so busy, I've not even done it. People say, you know, do a bunch of original journalism. We do all the time. We break stuff all the time. But it's hard. It's hard. That's why we're hiring six more reporters with reporter backgrounds. And so they can go out and do that, and I can oversee it. We're trying here. All that cost Federal Reserve notes. You know it is dollars, money. Hillary said no. That's up on the Drudge Report. They're now jumping in. What? No to VP? Oh, yeah. Well, the word is, yeah, I told you yesterday, you could see it. Obama meeting with Biden. Everyone's saying Biden needs to step down. It's not too late for Biden to step down. The word is that old Biden is very close to going down the drain. He is circling the drain. They want to jazz things up with a new mummy. And print me that report, please. If Hillary indeed is saying no to VP, that means that Obama is out. And again, this is not all just about the globalist, you know, selling their cult of Obama. It's about the globalist moving their ball down the field. So it isn't just about Obama being a star in all this. It's about bring in their puppet, wear them out, destroy them, bring in the next one. But we know the military and police are gearing up for what they believe could be civil unrest after the election. Again, before George Soros' groups twist that, I'm not saying there'll be civil unrest. It's all over the news they're preparing for civil unrest. By the way, look at the cover of Time Magazine. For sale, asking $2.5 billion. How to buy the White House. the GOP architects, grand design, the decline of the small donor. And sure, they advertise what's already known in here, that big mega corporations and foreign corporations lobby and own the government. But it's not just $2.5 billion. You've got to be who they want. And you've got to be basically already in line with the main global interest. And then there's a race. But it's kind of like Iran, where the Ayatollahs, the Supreme Council, they have to pick who can run for president. So they go, okay, you three people can run for president. Now you can have an election. That'd be like going in a car lot and they said, you can have a red Ford Focus, a blue Ford Focus, or a white Ford Focus. And you're like, I don't want a Ford Focus. Not picking on Ford, I just use that as an analogy. Or it'd be like going on a Toyota dealership and saying, you can have a red Avalon, a black Avalon, or a white Avalon. I don't want an Avalon. I want a Dodge Charger. I want a black one. The point is that, okay, yeah, it does cost $2.5 billion. But that's like cherry on top, the plastic cherry on top of this whole fake confection. So we're going to be talking about that. But let me, I just digressed off into politics. Let me get into all the other news here because it's big today. U.S. troops to get new headgear for Homeland Security operations to stop small arms that would be used by the American people. And they admit it's for the U.S. Gun confiscation drills, declassified documents, re-education camps. Army admits those documents are real. 1.4 billion rounds for non-military police and every agency arming themselves. All of this going on. In fact, guys, I've got an article about the Soros crowd in the printer in there. Will you bring me that, please? Thank you. So we're going to be getting into that report today and how it connects into police department wants blimp to spy on suspicious activity under a Homeland Security grant. Dirigible would hover at height of 400 feet over the city. Now, again, they tether these. They have them also. They're solar powered that float around. This has already been going on for a long time. How many national news reports have you heard made fun of us for talking about this? I mean, this was released by DARPA in 2000 that they were already launching low Earth orbit, I mean, edge of space. 120, 150,000 feet, not really edge of space, but up there, big, giant, unmanned blimps with solar panels on top of them, with ground-penetrating radar, face scanning, intel-grabbing, you know, NSA stuff. It's a lot cheaper than satellites. And you can also land them and stuff at night at Air Force bases, or you can crash them in the ocean and just have the gear picked up. I'm going to give you some classified info. They've got where they crash it in the ocean when they're done, when the life's over. They have a ship just waiting because the intelligence package has inflatable balloons on it so that once the blimp crashes, they then just extract that onto the deck of the ship and then let the dirigible go under. Oh, yeah, I've talked to folks in the Navy that have been part of those missions. And last time I saw a public document, Alexander Haig actually launched the program for this and covertly made billions in the mid-90s. You can actually, about 1990 is when the program launched. But it got big by 2000, got admitted more by 2000. There are quite a few giant blimps. When a person gets a telescope out on a clear day and shows one, the news says it's aliens. I've shown you ABC News, you name it, where they go, aliens are over Salt Lake, or aliens, they saw a big cigar-shaped craft over Dallas. And they show it on the news, and it's a giant blimp with lights on it, and they'll even have a red light on it. During the day, they got propellers on them. They're like, look, sir, look, it's E.T. He came to Earth for Reese's Pieces. And it's a giant blimp. So it doesn't matter, though. The Soros propaganda front slanders Rand Paul and Alex Jones. There's 1.4 plus billion bullets bought. Social Security Administration, everybody's getting them. The National Weather Service wanted hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammo, 15,000 of this office, 23,000 of that office. That's what the document said. They came out in the Washington Post and said, well, it's a sub-agency of ours, but technically, you know, we bought them, but it's for... The NOAA dolphin protectors or whatever. Yeah, sure. It's for the Greenie police. And then the Soros outfit spun it that Rand Paul, Senator Paul, and myself, just and Drudge Report and whoever else covered it, that we just made it up that Fish and Wildlife or National Weather Service was getting this. When they're done with it, it's like, look at these people. They just made up blimps. They made up drones. Remember that a few months ago? There's hundreds of articles. There's no drones over the U.S. That nasty Alex Jones and that nasty Matt Drudge and just lying to you. I said hundreds of papers, over 500 that I know of, four or five different articles, different people, the same script, the same government plagiarized dribble was put in newspapers everywhere telling farmers, there's no drones watching you. In one of the cases Kurt Nemo wrote about at Infowars.com, they cherry picked it where Congress people were complaining and it was manned Cessna spying on the farmers. Sure, there were other drones in the Air Force and South Dakota, North Dakota, people getting, but this, no, it's, they took that with it. One thing we linked to was manned aircraft spying. The whole point is they're spying on us and arming to the teeth against us. And they spun it and went, they made it up. There's no drones, sweetie cake. That's why you have no readers. That's why you're a joke. That's why everyone hates you. People know the games you're playing now. People know. The big news is up at DrudgeReport.com. It's Infowars.com reports Steve Watson, Pentagon developing autonomous humanoid robots, wait for it, to perform evacuation operations. Like, just like the drones that were for evacuations, and now they admit they're going to be weaponized in America. Oh, the combat robots? They're humanoid, bipedal. It looks just like the Terminator, just like I told you. But never mind. They're coming to save you. During emergencies, you know, when the guns get taken, if you fight back, well, you know what, the weapons package will go live.
Well, I think I see another side, maybe just another light that shines. And I look over now through the door.
We've got all this incredibly serious news to go over. But remember, truth is stranger than fiction, and there's a lot of interesting things that go on in the world. In fact, speaking of that, before I get back into serious news from around the world and here domestically ahead of Max Kaiser and others joining us today on this Friday edition, I wanted to briefly talk about, well, a couple different issues. Well, one of them is serious. We have Dave Mustaine's exclusive response to the media's demonization campaign of him coming out and saying Obama could have been behind the shootings in Colorado and Wisconsin. Look, if government's done it before and Obama's run false flags like Fast and Furious and it has all the signs with the witnesses at the Sikh temple and even Larry Pratt of Gunners of America is coming out and saying that they have to be looked at as suspects. As prime suspects. When there's a bank robbery, you go round up the bank robbers who've been let out of prison and you interrogate them. I mean, it's very, very simple. They stand to gain. It was the timing. You go through all the evidence. I'm not going to do that again here today. We need to defend his courage. So the article's red linked at Infowars.com defending him. He defends himself, pointing out, hey, I'm just saying what Larry Pratt and Alex Jones basically said. And it's red-linked. I'd ask you to get that and get it out to everybody you know. Exclusive, Dave Mustaine clarifies Obama staged shooting statement. Speaking of shootings, finally people are striking back. Politico, Family Research Council head blames Southern Poverty Law Center for listing them as terrorist. I mean, you list somebody as extremist, mix them in with terrorist, and then somebody goes and attacks them because the Family Research Council, who, by the way, is pretty milquetoast, but they say, don't teach 8-year-olds about sex, period, whether it be heterosexual or homosexual. And so the guy goes and attacks him over it, saying he's mad at Chick-fil-A. That's now official. This is a hate crime. But again, I don't want to play into their game of going, okay, well, then charging with a hate crime. Hey, attempted murder, shooting somebody, you know, people stopped him there, though. Wasn't a bunch of victims. So, no. Just charge him with the attempted murder, assault with a deadly weapon. He'll get 30, 40 years in prison. We don't want to play your game of, oh, because it was hate motivated, he gets more time. Hey, somebody shoots you in your house to rob you, you need to get the death penalty. Somebody kills you because you're white, you need to get the death penalty. Somebody kills you because you're black, you need to get the death penalty. That's where I stand on this stuff. I mean, the guys that drugged that poor black man to death 6-7 years ago that's made so much news down in East Texas, they all got the death penalty. Last time I checked, they've executed a couple of them. And there was this big thing on the news. I remember Jesse Jackson. Nothing was done. What? Nothing was done because there wasn't a hate law? You mean a thought crime law? Where now in Europe, they arrest you for not smiling at the Olympics in England? Where they arrest you if you criticize somebody's religion or sexual? They arrest people if you criticize Muslims. They arrest you if you criticize homosexuals. And by the way, the homosexual lobby, I'm not even attacking these people. This is not even my big axe to grind, except they're authoritarian. At least the ones that speak for them are like, yeah, arrest somebody if you use the word homosexual. Robin Page, I had him on the show like 7 years ago. BBC host of One Man and His Dog, a rural affairs show, wasn't even political, said at a speech when they were trying to take rural property and ban hunting, he said, hey, our rural communities deserve the same rights as Muslims and homosexuals. They arrested him saying the word homosexual is hateful. Folks, this is political correctness where you can't even use scientific words. People are so ignorant now, they think Caucasian is a slang term. They think Negro is a slang worm, an insult, a slight, an attack. They think homosexual is, or heterosexual. No, these are names. If you say Asiatic, it's not attacking Asians. People don't say Oriental anymore about folks in the Orient. The political correctness is a war on words, a war on communications. It's pure authoritarianism. You people aren't liberals. You're a bunch of control freak nutcases who can't compete and want to muzzle the rest of us. Well, you know what? I'm off your plantation. I'm not a colonist of the New World Order.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
George Soros isn't a foreigner who's become an American, so he's a domestic enemy. I don't know what is. Pushing his anti-gun, anti-family garbage. Attacking me through his fake surrogates, White House run. Tax exemption, just absolutely disgusting. We're going to be breaking some of that down coming up. Again, Soros propaganda front slanders Senator Rand Paul and Alex Jones. Ecuador President Rafael, we are not a colony. He stands up to the jackbooted British Gestapo, Paul Craig Roberts. Absolutely. The British government that sucked off the great British people and the great Irish and Scottish people around them isn't even British. It's Transylvanian. They call it German royalty. They're not even German. But my point is, they have sucked off those people and built a global empire that the Brits paid for. And remember the whole Falklands War? Remember the battleship getting sunk and all that, where the submarine, you know, blew up the former U.S. Battleship that was Brazilian, wasn't it? I mean, it's ridiculous. You've got Britain, that is the globalists that run it, picking on people and trying to take their islands, their waterways. Yeah, they're not a colony. And by the way, we're not a colony of the globalists. It's the British model that we're under today. That's what the New World Order is. In Carol Quigley's own words at Georgetown, in Cecil Rhodes' own words, in the Council on Foreign Relations' own words. So we're going to be getting into that with Max Kaiser as well. The whole world's lining up for war here. And, you know, our forebears said that 236 years ago. They said, look, we're not a colony okay? We're not your slaves. We're not going to sit here and pay you all these taxes, because they were Englishmen, but they weren't being given the rights that had already been gained in England. They said, okay, we'll just stand up to you, because at a certain point you get past the fear and you just, you're so disgusted at being a slave and being pushed around and having lesser men dominate you that you just say, you know what? You're looking for a fight. You better believe you got one. That's how it works. And no amount of drones and weapons and 1.4 billion rounds of ammo. You're buying all that because you're scared, because you see us buying millions of guns a month. But again, I don't even want to fight with the Americans that serve the globalists. I want to wake them up. I don't have some macho imperative that I need to go out and, you know, see a civil war, you know, because, ooh, it's sexy and fun. There's nothing sexy and fun about it. But I will not be a slave. Period. And the only reason we have so much prosperity in this country, the media loves to tell you how bad America is and all our horrible past. Compared to other countries, we've been great. Because the basic ideas of liberty that were later adopted, that everyone demanded, what's in the Bill of Rights, Constitution, Declaration of Independence, that idea is 180 degrees against what the globalists want. That's why they're so angry. We've always had monopolies with the monopoly elites in every culture running things. This system was the first time, starting with the Renaissance and the General Enlightenment 500 years ago, roughly, 550 years ago or so, right through to 1776, the greatest flowering of it, through to the prosperity it created, and then the decadence. And there's the modern sophistication of the world, which allows corruption to hide better, until it takes over and then declares war on the segments, the remnants of goodness that are left, because the remnants of good could sprout at any time and grow and overthrow the evil. Evil seeks to eradicate good because it's threatened by it. It's at war with each other. What an amazing show yesterday. Richard Belzer on the show, big movie star, TV host, author, comedian. And then he's like, hey, I'm at Chris Walken's house. And the crew's like, did he just say Christopher Walken? So we go to break, and the really good stuff was during that four-minute break, the long break at 20 after that we take. The other breaks are 3 minutes long. Well, top of the hour is 1 minute. Our end of the hour is 1 minute. And I walk in the control room, and he goes, yeah, hey, here he is. And then there's Christopher Walken. We talk for a few minutes. And then he gets on air and plays, you know, plays it safe and wants to talk about cooking chickens and French wine. That was probably one of the weirdest moments in my radio show. And folks, we've had a lot of them. Of course, it was also streaming video at prisonplanet.tv, or no one would have believed it. But I walked in there 30 seconds in. He goes, yeah, you want to talk to him? And there's Christopher Walken, what an interesting person, looking at us on Skype. I was just like, it's ridiculous. There's the added funniness. At first, he was sitting in Belzer's lap because there was only one chair, and they got another chair in there. And the crew flipped their phones on and started taping all this. We have it on tape. And I'm saying stop that. But then there's that effect around celebrity. People just can't help it. Even if you're over celebrity, when it's a really interesting celebrity, it's not just that they're a celebrity, it's that they're so interesting. I'm going to ask them next week. We're going to get Belzer back on and say, hey, by the way, we have them sign behind the scenes talk. You want us to put that out? I told anybody puts that out before we get authorization, you just delivered yourself a pink slip. They are. You erase yours? Well, that wasn't good, John. They let us use it, even though I know I told you not to shoot it. Okay, well, it doesn't matter. It's funny, people now are so quick on the draw. That was like gunslingers, like bam, their droids and iPhones are all recording so quickly. But it'd be one thing if we had Christopher Walken coming on the show. It's like you're interviewing a really interesting writer and researcher, you know, movie star in their own right, about politics. That's why Richard Belzer was on the show. And then, boom, it's Christopher Walken. And if I could tell you, that's the strangest moment on radio. I've been taken to some elite parties in Hollywood, and I have seen stuff you people wouldn't believe, to quote Blade Runner, Roy Batty. And I'm not name dropping here. The only reason I bring this up, though, is it's signpost that, oh, here's a book about, you know, government staging assassinations and blaming patsies. Dead Wrong That We Sell at InfoWarsShop.com by Richard Belzer. We get him on and then find out he's been a listener for many years and is a great guy. And then, boom, by the way, they did invite me up there to New York or Connecticut to hang out with those guys. That's something I might go through TSA groping for. To go cook over at Christopher Walken's house. I tell you whose house I have cooked at, and other people wouldn't believe it. My life is so weird, man. It is beyond bizarre. All right, I'm going to stop right now. We got all this crazy news and stuff. The point is, and then at the same time, we're defending Dave Mustaine from comments made, and he's giving us that exclusive. I'm just telling you, this show has already begun to orbit into the zeitgeist. We're not even there yet. Yeah, but it is blast off now. It is blast off. Oh, boy. Speaking of that, let's, before we get to this really hardcore serious news, we're just having a little bit of fun here right now. To show you how focused on politics we are, we didn't even get into the Christopher Walken thing on the nightly news last night. And then we put it up on YouTube, the radio / TV show yesterday. We just mentioned that it was Richard Belzer came on the show to talk about government murders and cover-ups and didn't even point out that Christopher Walken was in it. So the YouTube audience is all freaking out going, hey, 10 minutes into this, is Christopher Walken? But now we did cut it out and we have the Christopher Walken up there on the site. Really, really crazy. All right, I'm going to stop right there and go to a short clip of the Christopher Walken via video on the Alex Jones syndicated transmission. Here it is. Suddenly, Christopher Walken is on our Skype video feed. Let's bring him up right now. Oh, my.
I had to drag him out of bed. That's how much he likes me.
Richard and I are cooking.
Yes.
And we're writing a book.
Right. And we're doing a movie called
The Nose.
The Nose in the River. We're teasing, but we're filming this cooking thing for Funny or Die. So Chris took a picture of my nose, and I took a picture of his nose, and we're going to release that as a short film and hopefully get an Oscar.
You took a snapshot of my nose, but I took a movie.
A 4-second movie of my nose.
It's going to be great.
People want to know what celebrities do, Alex. We're not that mysterious.
But we also made a chicken. Sweet potatoes.
He made chicken with sweet potatoes, onion,
cooked pears. And the orange seafood melange.
He's a great cook. And I just made the salad.
The orange melange.
Brijol. The orange melange. What's the name of that dish that you made?
And he was really nice off air. Then we get him on air. And I can't help it. I started asking him, what about the TSA? What about Iran? He starts getting up. Like, okay, back to French wine. He comes back. The whole thing, that's just a short clip of it, is up at the YouTube channel. We don't even care enough. And I'm kind of proud of this, that all my writers and crew, there's nothing about almost 24 hours into this, nothing on Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com about Christopher Walken popping in on the show. Thanks to Richard Belzer. So pretty amazing. By the way, I've now read 2 chapters of it, and I'm going to read the whole thing. Very powerful book, Dead Wrong, How Government Stages Murders and Blames It on Patsies. Just amazing cover-ups covered here in the book, whether it's RFK, JFK, Marilyn Monroe, or, of course, Martin Luther King and others. Dead Wrong, Richard Belzer and David Wayne, available at InfoWarsShop.com. Your purchase supports him and our work as well, our bookstores everywhere. It really is a powerful book. I'm going to read it tomorrow. Tend to finish banging through this a lot of great photos. That's what I like too. Photos, documents, ballistics reports. I mean, this is my kind of book. Dr. David Kelly's murder. It's almost like an encyclopedia. I mean, this is my kind of book, just to break it down for you. So we're going to be, Jesse Ventura wrote the afterword as well. So, in fact, give me a document cam shot of this since folks are watching. I want them to actually see what I'm talking about here. It's full. This is exactly, if I had time to write books, this is what my show is kind of like, the documentaries, and then we show you the documents and all the photos and articles and graphs and everything else that's in here. And then, of course, you got Richard Belzer, David Wayne, Jesse Ventura. A great, great book at InfoWars Shop. Com. And I don't want to, I'm not going to show this till Monday. New magazine. It's being printed right now. Newspaper. This is the size of it. This is the size of it. Look at that banker graphic right there. Oh, in-house illustrators. I mean, to say this is pimp is, to use the common vernacular nomenclature, not your standard imperial, but still. Oh, yeah, it's powerful. It's powerful. And it's going to be out Monday. We're going to have it up Monday. You can buy them at cost in bulk. Oh, we don't just sell one thing of something. We sell them in bulk at cost. And but it's not up yet, and so that is coming. It's 48 pages long, and I'm not going to show you the cover till Monday. What? I'm out of control. I apologize. You can tell I'm in a good mood. I had a great evening last night as well. The Lord is blessing those that love freedom. That's all I can say. I was over at the pool, the pond. Pond would be good. All right, that's enough. Max Kaiser is coming up. Let me shift gears to the really hardcore news now. U.S. troops to get new headgear for Homeland Security operations, Army to develop new helmets to protect against small arms ammunition in the homeland. And these are basically new ballistic riot gear helmets, and they admit for, the new combat with us. And, of course, the Homeland Security's got the 1.4 billion bullets on top of all this. The Army admits gun confiscation drills and re-education camp training. And we'll be going over that more with Max Kaiser. Police department wants blimp to spy on American suspicious activity. All over the country, they're getting tethered blimps that sit at 400 to 1,000 feet right under the FAA limit. And with the cameras on them and loudspeakers and face scanners barking orders at you. And how do they have your face scan, even though it's not in the database yet? Well, the driver's license was a face scan and Facebook. And, of course, they've got the high-altitude ones. You know, it's funny. I said this in my film in 2005 because they had surveillance blimps over New York then. I show it. And I've been on countless talk shows where they raise this. They go, you're the crazy guy who thinks there's blimps watching us. I don't know. I got video of them saying NYPD on them. I mean, you see the video, right? And they're like, well, here's a document. Oh, no, there's no blimps or drones. And by the way, they're not weaponized. They're not watching us. Okay, well, here's the FAA's admission. I don't want to see that crazy man. And, you know, this ADL, 7 Poverty Law Center, we've got the Think Progress run by the White House and Soros on record. Tax-free, supposedly nonpartisan, because they tell you they are. Nonpartisan, really. We actually have meetings weekly with the White House, have the former transition director runs it, and Soros funds it, $3 million a year. And then they tell their readers that they're nonpartisan and they're a watchdog because they said so. Be like if I announced I was the Queen of England because I said so. Or side issue. Their God, I forgot that. They say it, so it is. But here I am on CBS TV, and they're playing a clip of my film, Martial Law, where I'm warning of the move towards tyranny in America. And the colonel I'm debating keeps saying, well, Bush will be out of office in a few years. I'm like, no, it isn't about Bush. It's about the system taking over. Here's a clip of me. Well, first is from Martial Law 7 years ago, and then this is from 5 years ago on CBS where they're playing the clip. Here it is.
To a cable with ground-penetrating radar that looks right through your walls and gives the government a black and white image.
We live in a post-9/11 world, security higher. We're a country at war. Not an ideal situation for anyone, but there are some that say if we have another terrorist attack on American soil, the U.S. will be under martial law. On the phone, we have with us the man you just saw in the video. That is Alex Jones, a man who has set forth to expose these supposed indiscretions by the government. We also have with us terrorism law expert Jeff Adicott with us. Thank you both for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. Let's first talk with you, Alex, by phone. Alex, you feel America is going to be under some martial law pressure as soon as we get attacked again. Is that correct?
Well, back in 99, I met with your police chief, and we threw Delta Force out. They brought in large bags of cash and tried to buy them off. Then I talked to emergency managers around the country when I was fighting this then and found out there was a covert plan to take over all of our major cities. Now that's been in the Associated Press. The Homeland Security Committee in Congress with the highest level security clearances are not allowed to see the details of PDD 51 signed May 9th. of this gear that literally makes the president a dictator. And last year, the president funded the John Warner Defense Authorization Act for domestic
oppression
of the American people.
Then that university head who was a colonel, JAG officer, we've interviewed him before. He actually turned out was a listener and agrees with us. I guess he was playing the part of the guy that disagreed with me that day. Of course, that was a few years later. I guess he did see it all come true. Now the president tells the Congress that NATO gives him orders. That's called a dictator. The office is becoming a dictatorship, not the president himself. Let's be clear on that. And it looks like Hillary doesn't want to run as VP. That means the rat is leaving the sinking Obama ship and scurrying over to Mittens. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Evil and building things. You see how the globalists make you think living it up, gambling, partying mindlessly, you know, running around having 20 sexual partners? No, that's not what's valuable. Ideas, information, art, literature, civilization, but most importantly, truth. Truth is the key. I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Max Keiser is coming up, and this is an order to the crew. 30 minutes into the interview, I want you guys to keelhaul me, as Yosemite Sam would say, if I am not starting to go to calls at 33 after, okay? I think we should add an element to the show where they have like electroshock things when I don't do what I'm supposed to. And they just, I'm joking. It's a joke. I guess they already have that with the TSA. I haven't had allergies in bad in about a year. I think because I'm taking longevity. But they are, it's killing everybody right now because it was so wet and there was this giant spring after a drought here. And then it rained like the monsoon. Now it's dry again. It's like Wild Kingdom flowers everywhere. And Austin's already the capital of allergies. You know, I forgot I have a cough button over here. How to use that. I know why I forgot. Somebody moved it. Okay, getting back to all of this information. What are we going to be discussing with Max Keiser? Let's just get him on now, by the way. I want to go right to him. We start the next hour, please. Chance of Fed printing more money jumps to 60%. That's Fox Business. U.S. government foreign debt hits record $5.29 trillion, but the banker's debt is $1.5 quadrillion that they say I owe them because they engaged in fraud and I never signed on to it. But the Army's standing by to take it out of me, I guess, even though there's not enough money to do it. But it doesn't matter. Startling evidence that central banks and Wall Street insiders are rapidly preparing for something big as economic collapse. Blog up at Infowars.com. I'm going to go over that with Max Keiser. Also, U.S. authorities subpoena 7 banks in LIBOR probe. That is the former managing directors and deputy directors and vice presidents and presidents of the big banks who now are the head of the agencies in every case. They will now do a fake investigation of their bosses and their own blind trust, which aren't blind, with the investment money they stole. Satan will now investigate Beelzebub, or the devil will now investigate Baphomet, or Leviathan will now investigate the old serpent, I guess. So we're going to be going over all of that. Report: Soros unloads all investments in major financial stocks, invest over $130 million in gold. Yeah, they go to QE3, well, all the common sense is gold's going to go up. Like a rocket ship, or like when I was a kid, I'd say a rocket chip. And I called elephants elfinance. Jobless rates rise. I still say drowning. I know everybody likes that, so I still say it. I know it's drowned. Jobless rates rise in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut in July. No one will be charged with crime over MF Global collapse. Well, I mean, they just tapped in people's bank accounts, took it. I mean, that's not stealing when you take it. They said so. Finland prepares for breakup of the Eurozone. It's all coming up, along with combat robots to take your guns in America, and you're going to pay for it.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, fresh off of Dave Mustaine on the show yesterday with his official international response to saying the mass shootings could have been staged by the criminals that staged Fast and Furious. You know them as the Obama administration. And then we had Richard Belzer along with Christopher Walken yesterday. On the heels of that, you can only go up one level, to quote Spinal Tap, from 10 to 11. They said, well, why not just make it louder and make it 10? Because it's 11. And R11 is Max Kaiser. All right, Max is a funny guy. I like him. You know, he'd be a nice, fun guy to hang around and drink beer with. But I shouldn't open the interview up joking around with him, or that'll set the tone, and then it'll disintegrate very rapidly with the two of us. And I am in a kind of a joking mood today. Don't ask me why. Well, actually, I know why. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I actually got to go wakeboarding yesterday evening with some friends that took me out. I want to thank them for that. And I feel energized. I feel like I was on a week-long vacation. Now I have mini vacations, three-hour periods every once in a while. So we're going to be talking about the big news with Max Kaiser. When we come back from break, we're going to get into the talk of QE3, the rapidly deteriorating situation since we had him on a week ago, less than a week ago, doing nothing to MF Global, what precedent this sets. We're going to talk about it all with Max Kaiser today. And we're also going to look at a bunch of the different military developments and more, and the new combat robots to occupy our cities. Pentagon developing autonomous humanoid robots to perform evacuation operations like Katrina. That means gun confiscations. So talk about Skynet. It's here. And police departments are getting Homeland Security blimps. It's all very nice. So it's all part of, it's all part of our tax money and the playing army on the disheveled, overtaxed American people. But it's the same thing worldwide happening. Max Kaiser, tell us what's front and center on your plate. We're going to come back and launch the official interview here. Max Kaiser, syndicated radio host, TV host, MaxKaiser.com. A one-stop shop for all things financial crystal ball gazing. Good to have you here with us.
Hey, Alex. Yeah, great to be with you. And just continuing on the theme that we established a few months ago, just trying to pick the exact date of when you have this global fiat money collapse. I've said April of next year is the outside chance of that happening anytime between now and then. And just to try to figure out where the seismic shocks are in the system, what'll trigger the event. So I'm looking at a couple of different things. And as I mentioned on the last show, I've done some more work looking into Japan. You know, Japan is a very interesting country because they funded 20 years of stagnant economic development with their savings account. So people in Japan are almost forced to buy Japanese government bonds. But now, demographically, these people are retiring, so they have to sell to fund their retirement. So that means a guarantee upward move in interest rates. That could be the trigger that starts a global cascading effect in the entire. And what got me started on this is because it just emerged this past week, Alex, that the second biggest buyer of U.S. Treasury debt now is no longer China. Number one, of course, is America. America is the biggest buyer of its own debt. But taking the second spot now is Japan. China is walking away from the table. Japan has always been under the Treasury of America's thumb. They'll do whatever America says. And now they are the number two biggest buyer of U.S. Treasury bonds. But that is extremely dangerous because their economy itself is a tinderbox, probably the weakest, most fragile economy in the world, but after the Fukushima disaster, after 20 years of the zombie economy and the zombie banks, but now they are supporting America. Japan, the zombie economy, is supporting the American economy. I'll give you an idea of how fragile the system is. China is walking away. What is China buying with the money that they have? Well, it's turned out that they are buying gold. My sources tell me that China, before the end of this year, will come out with an official statement announcing that they've upped their gold by over 1,000 tons.
Stay there. We're going to come right back with all things economic.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, if true, it signals one of the biggest, stinking, ugliest, mange-covered rats, fat on the blood of dead children and criminal wars and tyranny worldwide, and fat off the blood of all they killed with Arkanside. Hillary Clinton, one of the king rats, the Washington Examiner, DrudgeReport.com are reporting, or Drudge's linked to it, as technically he's not reporting, that she is set to not be his VP because they want to get rid of Biden. I mean, that's admitted after Biden came out and said they want to put basically chains on black people. Hillary rejected VP slot to ready her own 2016 run. And go ahead and go to the Examiner. Yeah, let's show people that they're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. And it goes on, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was pressed by her husband and a top Obama aide to consider replacing Vice President Joe Biden just a couple of weeks ago, claims the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Amateur. And going over it, it looks like a pretty good source, but who knows? Continuing here, following Biden's footsteps, MSNBC host says Romney engaging in inwardization. He actually said it. I'm not going to go the route of their talk show host saying it's not that big of a deal. They use it as a weapon. Let's use the word. It doesn't matter with the political correctness. They can say that stuff to get everybody fighting with each other and to inject racial division, divide and conquer, and then it's cute and sweet. Yeah, you can show. The crew's like, can we even show the headline? He's allowed to say it to try to create race war. But then we, the evil whitey, exactly, we're bad. And again, it isn't a black-white thing. These people know this. They're engaging in class warfare. They're just literally pimping out racial conflict. It's unbelievable. Just those black leaders, make sure those black babies get aborted, 51% of them. So we're going to be going over all of that. But that's enough. Coming up in about 25 minutes, we're going to open the phones up. In fact, they're open now for your questions for a former top stockbroker, retired author, researcher, who's done BBC shows, syndicated radio, RT, Press TV. He does that every week. Max Kaiser was on with us Friday. Last Sunday. Now he's on with us this Friday. It is the 17th day of August 2012 on this Friday edition. This is teleprompter free radio / TV, talking point free as well. We just cover it, well, like I see it and my guests see it. That's why sometimes we have differing views with guests. We're not monolithic liberal show, monolithic conservative show. I'm into freedom. I'm into an open debate. I'm into getting people to think for themselves. I think you deserve more than talking points. I think you're smart. I think when I tell you all this scary stuff, you'll make preparation for it. I don't tell you this stuff to scare you. I think you're like me. I think you want to know the truth. The truth's always there anyways. If you didn't know the elevator didn't actually come when the doors open, and you step out and go, well, I don't see an elevator. I see a 100-floor shaft. But I, you know what? I just feel like I'll step on in there. I'm going to be positive. I don't want to be scared. And then you'd fall 100 floors and die and, you know, bounce at the bottom and splat everywhere like Sloppy Joe's on the highway. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, the elevator doors have opened. There is no elevator. Do not walk into it. But people are like lemmings falling off the edge of the cliff. After all, Gloria Steinem says it's cool. I mean, she is CIA after all, which means banker occupier. Max Kaiser of MaxKaiser.com joins us. He's also the inventor of the virtual trading system used by the Hollywood Stock Exchange. And he was on with us Sunday, and now things have really deteriorated. Fox News, AP, Reuters, they're all talking about global collapse. Banks prepared for collapse. Banks told prepare for collapse. We've been now told, and China has announced, the government's pulling out of the U.S. stock market, saying it's fraudulent. Just what Max has been saying. George Soros and others rushing in to buy gold, getting completely out of the market, even privately. They stopped managing people's money years ago. What does all of this signify? For those of us watching, the writing's on the wall. Massive war, total collapse. Can it be averted? Max, when you say collapse on the outside by next April at the latest, are you saying that it will happen? Is there any way to avert it? What does the collapse look like? Max Keiser, you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm saying that it's a 90% chance of collapse by next April, but it could happen at any time between now and April. The global economy, you have to look at it in terms of the way a systems analyst would look at any complicated system. Every time you add more to the system, the complexity doesn't rise in a linear fashion. It rises exponentially. So every time the Fed puts on more quantitative easing, every time investment banks bail out some other investment bank, every time more derivatives are released into the system, you don't go from, let's say, 700 trillion in notional value derivatives to 800 trillion in a linear way. You have to think of it in terms of this global quadrillion to two quadrillion derivative souffle being encumbered with exponentially more risk. This is classic systems analysis, because we no longer have an economy of supply and demand, of output, of factories, of wages. We've left that world 40 years ago when we went off the gold standard in 1971. By the way, this is the 41st anniversary of the closing of the gold window on August 15th, 1971, by Richard Nixon. But all this time since then, we've been building in the complexity, building in the debt. And so now, between now and April of next year, is my call, you're going to have complete systemic collapse, much worse than in 2008. 2008 was just a precursor to what will be a complete and utter breakdown. And just so the game here is to try to pick where it starts, what the trigger, and to study it in terms of how the economies rattle and roll as a result of this complete and utter systemic breakdown. As I mentioned, Japan, to me, seems like the weakest link in the chain. Once that goes, it's one of the top three economies in the world, the second biggest creditor behind the U.S. itself, the U.S. debt. And they just have a lot of awful demographic and economic trends going against them. So looking more locally, Alex, to follow up on a story you've been talking about for a few weeks, the fraud that is Facebook, Groupon, and Zynga. I want to add something.
And you said on this show, let me just interrupt to get the number out, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Call's coming up at the bottom of the hour. Max, I hate to toot your horn. I just want to point out, mainstream media gets it wrong most of the time beforehand because they're lying. They have an agenda. You keep getting it right, and our guests do, because it's, you know what's happening. But expanding on this, you said 6 months ago, well before this, you said Facebook was going to be a giant pump and dump. Everybody who knew what was going on knew that. And now they get away with this. But Martha Stewart goes to jail. Go ahead.
Right. It's a pump and dump scandal, and which is what you would see on Wall Street 20 years ago on the penny stock firms. You know, they're very famous companies back then who were big in the penny stock, and they would call people up on the phone and get them to buy stock while they themselves were selling the stock. And then suddenly there were no more sellers and the stock would collapse and the insiders made out like bandits. Now, this is the first time we've seen it operated on this huge scale. Facebook was a $104 billion public offering. Barack Obama had his arm around Mark Zuckerberg. He was involved in this pump and dump. They go public at $104 billion, and they're now down 50% from the IPO price, 60 or 70% from the high just touched after the IPO price. And you've got two other stocks I want to talk about, Zynga and Groupon. Groupon is a stock that went public at 20, traded near 30, is now at 5. And Zynga is down 60 or 70, 80% as well. What all these three companies have in common, this is a dimension that hasn't been touched on a lot, is that they all share a common auditor, Ernst & Young. Ernst & Young is one of the biggest auditors in America. They are crooked. They are as crooked as Wall Street. They are as crooked as the fund managers. They are as crooked as the rating agencies. They are as crooked as these.
And explain how this works. It's not just that they're crooked and cook the books. Only certain groups like Arthur Anderson and others who are politically connected with Justice Department people in a revolving door, only you go to them, not for them to cook the books even really. That's on the surface. It's really a payoff to regulators who are in a revolving door to let you be above the law.
Well, Arthur Anderson is one of the biggest accounting firms. They got caught up at Enron. Enron blew up, and Arthur Anderson disappeared. There were 10 or so big firms at one point. I think we're down to four.
But now. Am I correct in what I said?
Ernst & Young is not necessarily hired to cook the books because the system is so corrupt that there is no genuine, generally accounted, accepted accounting principles worth anything anymore. Ernst & Young, they cover these three companies that I just mentioned. They have just lost, in total, these three companies alone, the market caps have dropped by $62 billion in the past just few months since going public. And just to give you an idea what Ernst & Young does, or these big accounting firms do, I had an experience myself when I was CEO of a company in Los Angeles. We had one of these big accounting firms come in, PricewaterhouseCooper. And they, what the trick is basically, what it depends on what they call revenue. In the case of Zynga, that they sell virtual tractors and they sell virtual raspberries as part of Farmville, which is a game on Facebook. Ernst & Young would count the virtual money as real money. So that was the fraud that they were committing. In the case of the company I was involved with, PricewaterhouseCooper, they were identifying losses as revenue. We had $2 million in losses. They put in the filing for the IPO at Bear Stearns, $2 million in revenues. And according to their formula, that was the revenues of the company, even though they were the losses of the company. But they didn't get in trouble after that because the accounting rules in America, just like all the banking rules and all the political rules and all the special interest rules and all the abrogation of all the civil rights and all the constitutional rules, are now in the hands of the lunatics running this asylum. They're the ones, Ernst & Young can say, that losses equal revenues, and therefore the company is worth $100 billion. Then it goes to the public market, and within 3 months we know, wait a minute,
sure,
the company's not worth $5.
Sure, Max, stay there. When we come back, I want to get your take on this then. If the whole thing is rotten, and as you said, the whole structure is the rust, take the rust out of the car, there's no car, what happens when there is an implosion? Is it total? Does it make it worse? Foreign bankers did a bad, bad thing. Oh, they did. And now they're buying 1.4 billion bullets. They've got drones and checkpoints going up everywhere. And more they admit it's for a civil unrest collapse. Max Keiser, who's been stunningly accurate in his prediction so far, unfortunately, is saying in the next, I don't know, how far away is April? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months. 6, 7 months. He sees it all imploding, and now they're in Fox News saying it looks like the Fed is going to go to QE3, but they've already done other forms of stimulus that cause inflation. Max, what happens when the corruption is so systemic? I mean, if we had crashes in 1929, not much of the economy was tied up in the market. What happens when everything's tied up in fraud if things go belly up?
Well, it's a good point, because back in the 20s and 30s, you still had a very big farming component in the U.S. economy. And even during the Depression, there was enough family farms in America. People could eat to some degree. That's not so anymore. You have the big industrial farming, the Monsanto and farming, the huge conglomerate farming. You don't really have the small farms anymore. So when the thing blows up, there's no recourse. There's nowhere to go back. I'll make another prediction for 2013. You keep asking me, is there any way to stop it? And I say, no, there's no way to stop this, because systems analysis tells me that when you complicate a system to the degree that this has been compromised and complicated, there is a 99.9% probability of a total utter systemic collapse before April, and that's my thought. Now, following up on that, there is only one possible outcome as a result of that, and that's civil war. There's got to be a civil war. It's going to be a civil war in America, intergenerational. all the people under 30 are going to go to war with everybody who's 45 plus, who basically stole all their money, stole their country, stole their wealth, destroyed the arability and the viability of the soil, and that will be the Civil War. There's only, if you have one, you're going to have the other, and that would come in 2013.
Max, I'm so speechless. I've got to interject something here. This is shaking me right now. Because I know you wouldn't just say this and put your credibility on the line. You're really sure of this, and I hope you're wrong. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm putting my flag, planting my flag on this one, as I have done before with predictions previously. And there's no avoiding the collapse. There's no remedy to the collapse. The underlying chaos is too great. The 86% of all the trades in the New York Stock Exchange are computer to computer. That's true of exchanges all over the world. The algorithms that support all this trading are funded with 0% interest rates from the Fed. They can borrow money at zero. They can do anything they want with any amount of money that they want. And if they ever make a mistake, they get bailed out with more free money from the feds. And they keep adding layer and layer and layer of problems onto the system. We already had the flash crash in 2010. We had the entire evisceration of Knight Capital just a couple of weeks ago, $440 million in 45 minutes due to a spastic computer program.
Well, I mean, here's why you may be right. I mean, undoubtedly, it's all a giant fraud and waiting to blow up, Max. But why are the Chinese pulling out of the U.S. stock market?
They're buying gold. They're buying this is going to be another surprise announcement, Gal. They're going to come out before the end of the year and say that their gold holdings are not at roughly 1,000 tons, but they're closer to 2,000 tons. They may even be up toward 3,000 tons, which would put them right up with Germany. Number two biggest concentration of gold in the world is Germany with 3,000 tons, and then the U.S. with 8,000 tons. China, big surprise announcement coming this year. They're either going to probably double their gold to 2,000 tons. It'll shock the world. It'll put a whole nother wave of buying pressure on gold, which we still see is going to continue its climb to $5,000-$7,000 an ounce. And China is a big part of that. As you mentioned, Soros is now back in gold in a big way. John Paulson, one of the biggest hedge fund managers in the world, is now 44% of his fund is entirely in gold bullion. That's billions of dollars. The hedge funds, the smart money, is always the first mover, and they get in there first. They know what's coming. They see the collapse. A lot of other hedge funds are closing business because the system is too chaotic. There's too treacherous out there. Funds are just pulling the plug.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what the Chinese said. They said Monday, I mean, of course, you just mentioned it earlier, they said this system doesn't work. It's not real. In fact, I had the article. I forget their exact statement, but we'll try to find it during the break. But they were like, you know, this system is no longer, we can't gauge this. They basically said it wasn't real. Exactly what you're saying, Max.
Yeah, I know. They listen to my show.
Well, they listen to reality, I'm sure, and they probably do listen to you. We'll be right back with Max Keiser and your phone calls, and he's got a lot more to cover. Stay with us.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
All right, we're going back to Max Keiser because I want to ask him what the collapse he's predicting will look like. I mean, he's saying worse than 08, and that was a heart attack in the financial system orchestrated to hold us hostage and bring in control. How bad will this one be? Because Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, threatened martial law, and we first reported that with a congressman on the show who heard it in closed committee, and people thought I made it up, and a week later it was big national news. We got no credit, of course. And it's not that that even matters. I'm just tired of people doubting it when I have a congressman on or, you know, I have somebody interesting on, and people just can't believe it was even real. And I had, like, Willie Nelson on, and I've seen people don't believe I had Christopher Walken on yesterday. I mean, they don't believe that the truth has been successful. They just can't get it through their heads. They're playing games with themselves, not us that are awake. We're going to go back and ask him that question in a moment and go to your phone calls. Max Keiser, MaxKeiser.com is our guest. If you just joined us again, I'm Alex Jones. We're here Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, weeknights, 7 o'clock at InfoWarsNews.com or PrisonPlanet.tv with the nightly news. Sometimes it's 3 hours long, folks. I mean, it's in-depth. If you like this radio show and the info, then you're going to love the television show. It's very informative. The guests, the in-studio, the documents, the mini documentaries. That's 15 cents a day. You can subscribe there for $5.95 a month. You get 6 memberships for the price of 1. It's all about getting the word out, and that just pays for our bandwidth. We're getting censored more and more, so we're promoting PrisonPlanet.tv more and more. And lastly, with this uncertain world, we have found the very best superfoods out there, just incredible vitamin, minerals, trace element, things like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, discounted at InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com. Tomorrow we're launching InfoWarsHealth.com, a new site. Cover some other angles of this. The Pollen Burst Plus, the regular Pollen Burst, all of it available at InfoWarsTeam.com. The best proprietary blend of essential fatty acids that I take, the EFAs. And now we have it all discounted. We're an official, you know, we carry it all. Inner Food, the best green superfood, coffee lines, you name it, all at InfoWarsShop.com. And again, we're not like the government that takes your money in bailouts and then gives it to MSNBC to be, you know, to push tyranny and anti-liberty. We're supported by you. So when you purchase the high-quality water filters that are discounted and all of it, you get the best products at the lowest prices, and you support freedom. Win-win, 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 win. We are capitalists. We are free market. We believe in the Constitution. We believe in free association. So if you believe in what we're doing and like what we're doing, buy stuff at InfoWarsShop.com and watch us grow and expand in the face of the globalist big time. Okay, I got to ask you, Max Keiser, what then does a collapse look like? I mean, you're going out there big time, and I find it chilling because I respect your analysis. When you say collapse, some people then say that means road warrior, you know, bands of motorcycles feeding on people. Well, crime rates are already exploding. There are a lot of towns where there are no police. Or if there are, they're there to make sure you don't have guns, or they are the gangs. So we're starting to see some road... Chicago, most dangerous city in the world now. But obviously... By collapse, you don't mean full road warrior collapse, or how bad could it get?
Well, first of all, before I get into that, I wanted to touch on some news here about the extent to which this fraud has perpetrated itself throughout the economy and why people are going to continue to be outraged and why that anger is building. Remember, John Corzine, former head of Goldman Sachs, former governor of New Jersey, he was caught when he moved over to MF Global stealing $1.2 billion. We talked about it on your show before. Now, he is basically allowed to go scot-free. There's no penalty at all for John Corzine. His defense is that the money vaporized. He has no idea where it went, and he just can't seem to be able to generate any evidence of its whereabouts that it ever existed or where it went. That's the kind of outrageous statement coming from a former governor, former head of Goldman Sachs, former head of MF Global, that gets under people's skin. And they say, wait a minute, this guy is part of a racket. The racket of the rating agencies, the fund managers, Wall Street, the auditors, as we just talked about, the media, CNBC. And it's a mafia-style racket. They're practicing racketeering, and they are stealing wholesale our wealth and, by proxy, our country. At some point, there is a breaking point, and the most victimized group in America will be the new generation that wakes up one day and finds gasoline at $15 a gallon, a bag of groceries for $300, and no way to get to work because the roads are completely in disrepair, and on and on and on. And those people will have no recourse whatsoever but to take back their country by any means necessary. It's just, it's not a big leap of faith here. This is just a logical progression.
That's right. And the bankers are gearing up with 1.4 billion plus rounds of ammo, checkpoints, giant armored tanks, vehicles, admitting they're going to put the army on the street. What's the army going to do when their wife can't, you know, with her paycheck, pay for groceries, or mama's thrown out on the street? I mean, what are these bankers thinking?
Well, it, you know, when you say, will it be like road warriors, you know, it could be like, you know, a soft gulag. And what I mean by that would be, on one hand, you've got this massive private prison industry that's growing the fastest, one of the fastest growing industries in America is private prisons. Corrections Corps of America hitting new all-time highs on their stock. We talked about it recently.
And she'll put all the people in the new FEMA camps where they're there for petty reasons, making things further driving down wages.
Right. That's well, and prison labor. Since we talked last time, has come out that factory owners in America are complaining to the Chamber of Commerce because the prison labor now, which works for 80 to 90 cents a day, is becoming such a big component of the American labor force that the only way you can get a job in America now is to go to prison, to find yourself in prison. And that, so the manufacturers, the factories in America, they don't have anybody to hire because the people...
Yeah, and look at the crime wave in France, the riots, the crime wave in Greece, and they've disarmed most of the people, so the criminals are just robbing. And it says the police can't help. Yeah, because it turns out the cops are the ones robbing a lot of people. I mean, this can only go on so long.
All right, so the my idea of the soft gulag is, first of all, you have the hard gulag, which are the prisons and the, you know, the camps. And we see that being telegraphed in the stock market already because the capitalization of those companies is moving aggressively higher because they know that they're about to get 20, 30, 40, 50 million new inmates, and that's incredibly profitable. They get huge tax abatements. They own the restaurants and the hotels near the prisons, so people go visit their family in prison. They eat in the restaurants. They stay in the hotels. You lose your voting rights. It's a fantastic money center. But the soft gulag, we saw that last week with the introduction of face deals. You know, these new Facebook cameras in retail shops that are geared to face recognition.
And you get discounts by giving up your liberties and freedoms, and run, but that's only up front. Later, everyone will have to do it to buy and sell.
Right. So, you, in other words, you give up your liberties and freedoms for a deal on some Chinese-made garbage. So you get 20 cents off. And you'll allow Facebook to essentially keep you in check, keep you in line. Whenever you go into a mall or a shopping environment, and of course they'll hook it up to the grid, which includes every camera out there, you will be buzzed on your cell phone whenever you stray off the path. If you stray toward a retailing outlet that they don't want you to go to or doesn't have the deal that they want you to look at, you'll get buzzed, you'll get phoned, you'll start...
Yeah, this is how they control markets. We've got to go to calls because I promised to, but new documents, Big Sis lied about canceling mobile body scanner program. They're now rolling out giant... They have the army doing this. We have footage on local news from New York where they make you and your family drive under a high-powered... X-ray machine that shoots through metal, more powerful than a chest X-ray, and they're still rolling it out. New documents, Big Sis lied about canceling mobile body scanner program. Homeland Security claimed it had dropped the plans in an early stage, and we've got the local newscast showing the idiot police and military standing out there under high-powered, guys, show people this article, it's incredible, under giant high-powered X-ray machines that shoot through your car and your truck. I mean, this is suicide. I mean, these globalists are just setting up a system of total war against everybody with the GMO food, the radiation, the mass death. We are run by lunatics.
Right, the soft gulag concept is coming into focus. And Facebook, by the way, also is introducing online gambling in the UK with British pounds. So that, remember I called it the gulag casino? which is going to, people will give up their liberties also for a chance to gamble online. Of course, they hold out these enormous mega multi-million dollar pots of money.
That all fake dreams, all manipulating. The people going to the private prison to visit their family don't even know the restaurants, gas stations, hotels are owned by the big mega bank that owns that consortium that actually shipped the drugs in that their son or daughter got caught using. The troops grow the opium, total black op murder, massive record suicide by the troops, cancer viruses being injected in us, total insanity. Again, that's the type of collapse you're talking about. Let's go to Roy in Montana. Roy, you're on the air with Max Kaiser.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Brother Alex. Mr. Kaiser, good to talk to you. My question is, I can't really afford gold, and obviously it's going to go way up. Do you think silver would be a good investment for somebody who can't afford gold, or do you just at this point just invest in...
You're talking to Mr. Silver right now, Max.
Yeah, silver, of course, they call it the poor man's gold. It's basically the same thing as owning gold. It'll operate the same thing. You know, gold and silver now, more and more, are being considered a currency. The commodity, the CME in Chicago, the Commodity Mercantile Exchange, just announced today that they are accepting gold as collateral. That means for the first time now, these commodity futures operations who are part of the banking system, they are so distrustful of the banks themselves that they are violating this idea that gold is somehow not a money. They're saying now gold is a currency. We will take gold as collateral. So gold is seeping its way into the economy. It's being monetized slowly but surely. It is the only thing that's going to be left standing. 5,000 years of history will tell you that. Silver is just as good as gold in this environment. If you don't want to buy pure silver, you can buy junk silver, which is 90% silver. You know, the 1964 or previous.
Everybody knows what those coins are. And when all this paper fully goes down, people are going to still be transacting. It's going to be whiskey, cigarettes, silver, gold, bullets, firearms, food, people that know how to fix things, trades. I mean, that's where it's at.
Yeah, well, Stacy, my fiance, soon-to-be wife, you know, she has thousands of these miniature bottles of whiskey from the airplanes that she's going to use as currency, she says.
By the way, Max, yeah, I've got a bunch of whiskey and stuff, obviously not drinking it, but I'm joking, but I do have a bunch of whiskey and stuff. I mean, I know that there's a good chance all this is going to happen. I hope it doesn't, but sir, I hope that answers your question.
It does, and one quick follow up. What would that do with a person with a mortgage? I mean, if the dollar tanks, and you know you owe your mortgage in dollars, I mean, how does that affect the average homeowner?
Well, sometimes. Well, I mean, Max, you answer it. Go ahead.
Well, theoretically, you inflate the mortgage value away, and it's quote unquote good for the homeowner. But I think we're in an environment where there's so much economic dislocation. And there's so many other variables at play here that it's not worth it in that sense. But you mean your point is well taken. It's a good point. But there are other things to consider. And real estate as a class of investment is problematic for a number of reasons. You know, you have the society breaking down. You don't know, different neighborhoods today could suddenly become war zones next week. You know, there's a lot of things happening. But your point is well taken. It's a good point, and I can't, you know, say it's not a good point.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Let's go to Jay in Texas. You're on the air, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, Max? Hey, there's an article out in Veterans Today about foreign cash disqualifies Romney from presidential bid, something about him being over in Israel, in Italy or London. Do you know anything about that? And
I haven't seen that particular article. You know, Romney, of course, is problematic for a number of different reasons, you know, the whole Bain Capital affiliation and everything that goes on there. I don't understand why people would want to look at a guy who said his tax rate for the past 5 years is averaging about 13%. So clearly he's not in the same country that we are living in. He lives in some other country. He's a foreigner.
He lives in global country where the globalists are all above the law.
You can't really consider him to be an American. He doesn't, you know, he pays taxes like he lives in the Cayman Islands. So go to the Cayman Islands and leave us alone.
Yeah, I hear you. You certainly had courage to live in France. I know you're going to the tax haven, as they call it, of England, Max. Let's go to Mark in North Carolina. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, Max, thanks for taking my call. And doggone, you answered several of my questions while I was sitting here waiting. But I still have one good one, I think, and And that's got to do with whether you've got bullets or heirloom seeds or other items, including the silver and the gold. Once you have it, what's the best ways or what's the best and safest bet for keeping it?
Well, I mean, number one, don't tell anybody about it but your spouse. Number two, have guns to defend it and be ready to use them. And number three, don't put all your eggs in one basket, Max Kaiser.
Well, my understanding is that InfoWars is opening up a huge warehouse down in Austin, Texas, to store everybody's precious metals. That's where I send all mine.
No, very funny, Max.
No, okay. So, yes, you don't want, obviously, you're at risk if you have it in your home or you know it. There's a lot of work on the web in terms of what people are doing with this. Personally, there are services that you can get involved with that store your metals in vaults that are completely outside of the banking system.
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of private lockers. Safety deposit boxes aren't 100% safer. Yeah, but the point is, if you got it in a couple of them, you can always get the stuff out later. So, I mean, just all over the place is basically it.
There's common sense, you're right to be concerned. From there are a number of strategies you can use. Some, each one has pluses and minuses, but tied to your individual circumstance, which I don't know. But it's easy enough to get the research on this.
Yeah, I'm investing in lead and the systems that project it, and I'm also food and things like that.
Well, funny thing is, Portugal just announced that the folks there that are being exposed to austerity measures have just run out of all the gold that they can sell at the local pawn shop to swap.
No, I know, food. I know, absolutely. And the bankers drove the price down to hoard it themselves. More calls straight ahead. Logan, John, Terry, Scott, your calls straight ahead. Stay with us. I'm Alex Jones with Max Kaiser. Basically, an offshore criminal class has gotten control. They fund themselves by militarizing against us. They make money out of enslaving us. They've brainwashed people to be paranoid, think their neighbors are terrorists, while the government runs Al-Qaeda publicly. It is an insane time to be alive. Max Kaiser is our guest for this little segment and the next. And then in studio, we're going to have Joe Bannister and his lawyer, political prisoner. They tried to make him a political prisoner. Joe Bannister, former Treasury agent. This is very important in light of all the corruption with the IRS coming out. Logan, in California, you're on the air worldwide.
Nice to talk to you, AJ. Remember, apathy is treason, my brother. My question for Max Kaiser is, I don't hear anybody speaking about commercial real estate and the fact that you can only claim a loss on your business for 5 years before you have to declare bankruptcy. And I believe that that is going to be one of the trigger mechanisms for the next collapse, because housing real estate was the bubble that popped the first time. And so I wanted to know what you thought about that, Max.
Well, all I can say is that I would agree with you. Okay. That what you're saying is absolutely correct. The commercial real estate sector is kind of huge bubble proportions, just like the student loan sector is a huge multi, trillion dollar plus bubble ready to burst as well. So there's still big bubbles yet to burst.
Here in California, everywhere I look, strip malls they have one business in 10 units, and every single one of them has a for rent sign, for sale sign. And they've been sitting for years. I have friends.
Okay, let me jump in here. So think that through for a second. So in other words, you got this commercial real estate that's vacant, that's not generating any income. It's backed by bonds, collateralized bonds of some nature, mortgage collateralized bonds, which have been sold back and forth amongst banks. And those banks, when they sell those back and forth to each other, they value them for 100 cents on the dollar. None of the banks yet have said, wait a minute, the strip malls are empty. Those bonds are not worth 100 cents on the dollar. They're worth only 5 cents on the dollar. No one has done that yet. They keep trading them back and forth for fees, and they're allowed to do that because they do it a really off-balance sheet. They do it on the dark exchange. They do it outside of the regulator's eyes. And so as a result, you have this building Mount Vesuvius of bad debt that's building on the balance sheets of these banks. JP Morgan, classic example, $90 trillion worth of derivatives, trillions of dollars worth of bad commercial real estate debt, and it's not being exposed because they...
Well said, well said. Thank you, Logan. Got to jump. Terry in Canada, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex, Max, thank you very much, guys. I was first introduced to Max, Mike Maloney. And when he air guitared the Sex Pistols, he had me hooked. So my question is, Bank of Canada governor is Mark Carney. He does double duty at the Bank of International Settlement. So my exact question is the Bank of Canada buying gold? And once this financial collapse happens, where does Canada fit into it all, being the biggest trader with the U.S.?
Well, Carney's an interesting case because, of course, just 6 months ago, Jamie Dimon, CEO J.P. Morgan, was lecturing Carney on why he needs to reduce his minimum capital reserve requirements in that country. Because doesn't he know that selling more derivatives is in the best interest of all the bankers around the world? You know, Carney said, you know, get lost, punk. And for that reason, you know, have to give them big kudos. They went through a huge banking crisis in the early 90s. They recapitalized everything. You know, the Canadian banks are basically nationalized. They're not, so they have a much more strict oversight.
They didn't get rid of their Glass-Steagall because they'd done that previously and got into trouble with it. Great points. We're going to come back, do 5 more minutes with Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. Again, if you're just tuned in, I'm Alex Jones of Infowars.com. No, we're not dry, old, fake left-wing media regurgitating fables. We're not old, dry, right-wing media regurgitating old fables. We're looking for real reality and freedom in our time. I hope Max Keiser's wrong. He says it's going to happen in the next 6-7 months, by next April, total collapse. I hope he's wrong, but there's a good chance he's going to be right. The globalists could always have some new bubble, some new scam, some new thing they do. But Max has never said it's coming down now. He's saying that, and a lot of our other experts are. That's super creepy. But we're here warning people regardless.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this Friday worldwide transmission. Got 5 minutes left with Max Keiser. Invaluable information, MaxKeiser.com. You know, we're having him on a lot more. We're very thankful for him coming on. You can find out about his TV and radio shows at MaxKeiser.com. Be sure and support the alternative truthful media. Doesn't mean he has all the answers or I have all the answers. Doesn't mean we're infallible, nothing close to it. But we're trying to get to the truth. And Max has really proven he's got his pulse from being a former insider on where things are going. And this conversation's freaking me out. I live here too. And I see all the preparations. And I wish we weren't right. It's just somehow we got to turn this around and try to educate as many military and police, because the globalists plan on having a civil war in this country that they trigger instead of having us come together and fixing the system. And, you know, I've grown up. I'm older. I'm not that old. But when I was 20, you know, I was a little more, we'll just have a war. And I didn't want it then either. But now I've lived enough to know what a bad idea that is. Even though we'll totally crush the globalist forces, that's part of the plan. And then the real globalists just set offshore. Max Keiser's our guest, so be sure and spread the word about all the work we're doing here, because it is so cutting edge, to use that cliche. John in Indiana, you're on the air with our guest, Max Keiser.
Yeah. Hey, Max, Alex, good to talk to you guys. You always enjoy listening to Max and you too, Alex. Just kind of wanted to tell you a little bit going on here. I'm about 2 hours outside of Chicago. Close to a little place called Gary, Indiana. I don't know if you guys know about it, but it's a cesspit, basically, just rampant crime. But what they're doing here is they're opening up several churches in and around the area to confiscate guns. So you can bring your guns in and basically get a $15-$25 Walmart gift card. So, and this just happened Wednesday. I just heard it on the radio here. The local radio station was just broadcasting it here. Yeah, like I said, a couple of days ago.
Give us your take on that, Max.
Walmart is the company store on the plantation. You know, every dollar you save at Walmart, you destroy $1.50 in wages. If you shop at Walmart, you're putting yourself into a wageless prison environment. It's as simple as that.
Same thing with Target, though. They're all the same.
Yeah, okay. But Walmart is the biggest employer.
No, I mean, it wrote the book, but it's now even being slave marted out worse by Amazon.
Possibly. But in other words, the retailing environment.
Race to the bottom.
Yeah, it's a okay, the race to the bottom. I mean, if you want to segue into a discussion about guns, I mean, that's a different discussion.
Yeah, but I mean, I was interrupting. Give us, in closing, your take on what's happening to retail.
Well, no, it's the race to the bottom. You know, I was trying to come up with a good metaphor for this this transition to this total collapse state. And, you know, you see it in nature all the time, Alex. You know, the transition in these system dynamics when there's a shift. You know, when you have water, for example, retains a lot of heat, and then suddenly it only takes 1 degree to go from water to vapor. Okay, that's a phase shift. And that's what I'm talking about. The heat, the water, the system is heating up with systems breakdown. And once we get that one final degree shift in complexity and outrage, you have a phase shift from water to steam. And steam, compared to water, is extremely, unstable.
Yes.
And that's the society that we're heading for in 2013, something extremely unstable.
So when you say collapse, you mean lots of instability, crazy stuff going on. And the globalists know this shift's happening, so they want to flip it like judo and take all that rage and use it for them to take over. But you're saying you don't see things going well for them, or will they stay in control?
They've got all I think they're in good shape, Alex.
We're going to have you back up very soon. Thank you so much, Max. I want to see where you think all this is going. Max Keiser's been our guest. We got in-studio guests straight ahead. A guy that tried to make a political prisoner for his speech. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
You know, I should have hyped this up better, but our listeners know that we tend to be all bite and no bark, as they say. We've had a lot of amazing guests in the last few days. We just had Max Keiser on yesterday. We had Richard Belzer along with Christopher Walken. And Dave Mustaine with an exclusive response to the big national story. So I'm really proud of the InfoWars radio/TV show. And I'm also very proud of my crew. And the great work they're doing, and the sponsors, the AMN FM affiliates, XM166, everybody, our sponsors. We couldn't do this without you. And it also shows that liberty is popular. Now, I knew this because I'd followed the trial, and I think once maybe even tried to call me a show as a guest, but who knows. I didn't even really realize until I was sitting in here with Joe Bannister, who we had on earlier in the week via phone, who, of course, I've been interviewing now for about 14 years or so, or 13 years. Well, since about 99, right? 99. So I guess about 13 years. He is here in studio with us. And Robert G. Bernhoft is also here in studio with us. He was Wesley Snipes' lawyer who got him off on all of the felonies with the IRS. And when they arrested Joe Bannister for his thought crimes a few years ago, Mr. Bernhoft was able to get, I don't want to say get him off because he didn't do anything, but the point is it's hard to beat the criminal IRS. And I'm very excited. I didn't know this. I knew that you were, I guess, in the Midwest, or what was it, Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Alex, yeah.
Yeah, so now you've moved to Austin, Texas. So I was saying during the break, if I ever need a good lawyer, thank God you're here. I should be groveling because, I mean, it's hard to find good lawyers. But just amazing to have both of you here in studio, Robert G. Bernhoft. And again, the website is bernhoftlaw.com, BERNHOFTlaw.com, and Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com. So, gentlemen, I don't know where to start. Where should we start here today?
Well, first of all, we came down to Austin. My firm did, because that's where all the troublemakers are, and we figured this is a good place to be. And that's partly true, but we're really liking it here in Austin. Great people, a lot of energy, and, of course, this show is here, so we're having fun.
Yeah, now that you're here in town, look out. Well, you're our legal expert. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
In fact, I wanted to get you on the TV show tonight, so hopefully next time you're both in town, come back, because I forgot I'm shooting for a documentary film today, a film crew's here. So we've got to work it out somehow to get that done. Okay, I'm excited. I'm going to shut up. Tell us about your take on the IRS, the big scandals coming out, all the rest of the corruption. It seems like the veil is lifting, that we really do have a corporate mafia in control that exempts itself from the fraudulent laws that they put in place.
Yeah, I think that's right, Alex. And one of the hot topics in academic commentators, the federal judiciary, and defense practitioners is government misconduct after former Senator Ted Stevens and the subornation of perjury, falsification of evidence, and the scandal about that. What I'm seeing now is a cascade of investigative and prosecutorial misconduct that's infecting the courts. The difference now over the past 4 or 5 years is that it's being exposed to some extent. We will never know what sort of investigative or prosecutorial misconduct lay behind Cho's investigation and prosecution because we did not get all the discovery we were entitled to. But I remember getting the call from Joe after the arrest, and that was a traumatic time, I know, for him and his family. And we were able to jump in and help, and we were grateful to be able to do it.
Let's go through that case before Wesley Snipes, because, I mean, you're just winning and winning and winning in a system where it's almost impossible to win. Tommy Crier, God bless him, died this year. He was able to defeat them. When you can get a jury trial, I mean, is that how you're able to do this, actually exposing the fraud?
Yeah, absolutely. The last bastion of freedom, the interposition between government power and the executive and the citizens like Joe, is the jury. Now, there's unfortunately, the quality of the jurors that we're seeing in jury pools, it's a function of American culture. We have a lot of people that watch too much TV, that listen to government propaganda. It's very difficult to get free-thinking, individualist-type people on juries. So one of the things that you have to do is pay attention to your jury selection. Joe's jury, we like diversity on our juries. And, I'll be candid about this. For example, the African-American community has a different perspective of the system than white America does generally. They have had an experience with the system. They're suspicious of system state.
Not as naive.
That's a great way to put it. And they're more inclined to think and listen carefully to what otherwise other Americans might shut out. You know, how could it be that the government who wears the white hats indicts a good guy? Well, you know, the government comes into court with the white hats on. Joe's supposed to have the black hat on. And our trial theme was, no, they indicted the good guy. And so we tried to switch the hats. And that's a tough concept for most Americans. But thank God we still have jury trials in all of our criminal cases. And unanimity is required. It's got to be 12 unanimous jurors giving a unanimous verdict. And that's your last chance. That's your last chance to defend yourself. The other thing that's going on, of course, is it's an exemplar of despotic systems that they use their judicial process to single out and punish dissenters. That's always been the case throughout world history, but it's a real shame and it's a disgrace that the American federal criminal judicial process increasingly is being used as a forum to target and punish principal dissenters. And so that's the state of the American judicial process today.
Well, it's scary. It's like you say, Joe, hey, I'm not saying don't pay them, even though it's all a fraud. They'll break your legs. I mean, they'll worse than that. They'll put you in prison for 20 years and take everything you got. I'd rather have my legs broken than that 10 times. I mean, this is vicious what you went through. I know most of our listeners are aware of your story, but look at what happened to, you know, just the guest I had on the other day, the IRS.
Sure.
Sherry Peel Jackson. I mean, she did nothing wrong. And for her speech, look at Erwin Schiff in prison for a book in America.
Book burning. Book burning is alive in America. We don't burn them anymore. We issue injunctions against their publication and dissemination. And that's what the court issued against Schiff prior to the criminal trial. The court enjoined Schiff from printing and publishing his book upon pain of contempt. I mean, it's interesting that even the Library Association of America came out in support of Schiff on that point. And it's also interesting that in an age where court decisions have said that free speech covers books on how to stalk, torture, and kill people, how to identify and groom children for sexual abuse, and that's free speech. You know, that stuff's out there. That's okay. But God forbid someone like Erwin Schiff wants to print his thoughts and research conclusions about the scope and nature of the tax. That's something you burn the book.
Well, I mean, he found the key to it and proved all their fraud after decades of research. And they said, you're going to a dungeon.
Yeah. And the other types of speech that, I'm libertarian, but nevertheless, some of that speech is abhorrent. First Amendment covers that, but it doesn't cover Erwin.
Yeah, you have to protect the abhorrent stuff or we lose our good stuff.
That's right. You know, there was a famous Supreme Court justice that made a really great, profound comment. We tolerate the speech we hate because someday our speech might be hated. So I'm good with that. I'm a libertarian. I believe in the principles of this country. But what we're having now is selective identification of speech that the state deems subversive, harmful, or dangerous. Back in the old days, frankly, we used to talk about our founders and the Middle Ages and then 1600s, 1700s, and there was torture going on in terms of criminal punishment. And now we're so much more civilized. And I don't think that's the case. In fact,
no, they just make it more sophisticated and more covers.
That's
there's
right.
more velvet gloves.
That's right.
What were we going to say? Interrupted.
No, it has a perception of being more civilized. But in fact, if you were a heretic before in the colonies, and you said something that was they considered blasphemous, they'd put you in the stock for a day, a little public humiliation, and then they, repatriated you to your family and to your home. They had to live in a community. And today we're much more civilized. We try and put people like Joe Bannister in federal prison for 15, 16 years.
And they're now grabbing people I've seen that have protested, the famous doctor case, Sell, up in Missouri, where he's been in there for 15 years now, forced drugged, never having a trial, but he's in prison drugged for Medicare, Medicaid fraud, they claimed. I mean, now they drug you or electroshock you because of your views. That's like the old Soviet Union.
It's barbaric. It's absolutely barbaric. And when you take a look at the U.S. sentencing guidelines, which determines sentencing ranges, and we take a look at the so-called white-collar guidelines, particularly regarding tax, and you have people that, failed to pay a little bit of tax on a couple years of income, and the sentencing ranges can be 5 to 10 years in federal prison. Everything is upside down. You can be out of a state prison in California on a murder one charge, 6.9 years, something like that. But if you run afoul of the IRS, look forward to a double-digit sentence. And this is systematic. This is not, this isn't accidental. This is absolute intentional policy that's being passed by Congress, enforced by its agency, the Internal Revenue Service. America.
This guy ought to have a radio show. No wonder he's winning with all these juries. Hey, wow, amazing. Again, we have Joe Bannister and Robert G. Bernhoft, his incredible lawyer. You got to go to bernhofflaw.com because I've followed your cases and then I'm running around here with 20 things happening and you guys are here. And then it kind of reclicks. Joe goes, he's the guy that's won all these other cases too. And I'm just realizing how rare that is. Yeah. Why have you been so successful when very few others have? And we're going to skip this break because it's so important, guys. Go ahead.
Yeah, the conviction rate generally is around about body temperature in federal criminal trials, 95-96%, take your statistic. The way we approach these cases is, first of all, we have aggressive motion practice to get the discovery that our clients are entitled to. And there's various rules and cases, so we're very aggressive about getting discovery. And the devil's in the details, and the government's thematics, and sometimes investigative misconduct lurks in the discovery. And then we prepare. It's about preparation, mastery of information, and it's also having an understanding of human nature. This is an age where we want to change human nature. We don't want to acknowledge it. We acknowledge the functions of human nature, how it plays out. And, court trials are theater dramatics where the stakes are very, very high. You have to understand what makes people tick. When you pick a jury, you have to look at those people as individuals, ask them a few questions. And they will tell you things about themselves without even realizing it. So jury selection, and Joe assisted me at counsel table with jury selection in his trial. And you have to have good people instincts, and you have to be aggressive, and you have to know the law. But picking a jury is crucially important, as it was in Joe's case.
And you're right. It is theater. People say, why do they do a year or 14-month, million-dollar investigation of Amish selling cheese and milk to their neighbors? Turns out the neighbors have moved in and demand they sell them their milk and cheese that their community's eating so they could take it across state lines and sell it to make it a federal case. Then they SWAT team them and get them down on the ground when they're a known nonviolent sect for 400 years. And all of this goes on. People say, why do they do that? So they can show an ignorant jury who doesn't know what Amish are, doesn't know the history of anything. Like, look, they're bad. We wouldn't have SWAT teamed them. And all of it is just dress-up theater.
Absolutely. Increasingly, especially in tax cases, especially in non-filing, and I'm not afraid to say it, tax protester cases. I mean, I did a case in Boston a few months ago, and they were completing building the Tea Party Museum right there in sight of the courthouse. And so we took the government's epithet, its defamatory epithet, and we said, no, we'll accept that. That's right. My clients are principal tax protesters. And they're protesting taxation without explanation. Wrote letters to the IRS, asked for the code section that made them liable, no answers. And we reached that jury on a pretty good level. So it is drama, and increasingly these prosecutions are done by misleading the jury about things they don't know about, can't be expected to know, misleading the jury about tax law, about how accounting is done. And in Joe's case, of course, it's just the drumbeat that this guy's dangerous. If you don't convict this guy, he's going to get to the children.
But if we rediscover 1776, common sense says the government's dangerous.
Absolutely. We were very aggressive in Joe's trial. My co-counsel, Jeff Dickstein, did an incredible job. And he put to the jury, which side is the con on? Which side is the con on? They charged Joe Bannister with conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
Was that night? Conspiracy. And we put it to the jury. You cannot win these cases by half measures. You can't go in there with soft themes.
I agree. People say wake up America being nice. No, I never calculated anything. I'm aggressive like a bull in a china shop. Absolutely. That's what gets results. The truth.
That's right. And you have to break through the barriers of people from seeing the truth. And you look at Joe's case again. I mean, he was.
Did you go with this angle too? Because I followed the trial, some of the news, but was so busy, mm-hmm. You know, was just following it in the paper and talking to Joe some on the phone. But I, you know, don't have a little inside stuff. But I would have made the point. He was moving up. He had a career. He had everything. He just did this to warn people of the truth. Why would he lose everything? The liars.
That is a really interesting point, because the government's playbook in criminal tax is greed. You know, he chose to play, and then they point to the jury, well, you chose to pay. They create class economic envy and responsibility envy. They tried to trot that theme out in Joe's case.
Closing argument, especially.
Closing argument. Joe.
But you lost everything.
Yeah, he put everything on the line, and yet the greed was the function, the factor. It was extraordinary. It wasn't plausible, and the jury didn't buy it.
Did you tell the story how he set out to disprove the tax protesters?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was tons of great testimony and evidence. And, of course, Joe, being a man of integrity, had former colleagues that were videotaped in a deposition talking about what a great special agent he was. The integrity, the discipline, the work ethic. So it was a tough go for the government.
And that was their evidence, but it blew up in their face.
That's right. They put the evidence of
I find that more and more. They'll stand up a huge room of like 500 Marines, officers, and say, you will not watch Alex Jones. You will give people demerits and write them up, and we'll kick them out if they watch it three times. And then all of them go watch it and then tell everybody to watch. So the whole military's watching, because for 10 years they tell them don't watch it. I mean, the system is so disconnected from reality, they seem to be their own worst enemy. Have you found that?
They are alienated from where America is really at. They are disconnected. They believe their own fantasies and the things they want everybody else to believe, and they just assume people believe that. But when you've got Joe standing up there with the New York Times investigative reporter and a Pulitzer Prize winner, and he's asking questions and taking notes, and Joe is expressing some views and beliefs that he has. The government thought this was sedition of the First Order. This is subversive. And the jury looked at him and said, well, gosh, he's thoughtful. He's speaking his mind. I mean, that's a crime. And the government's theory was, in fact, that was a crime. That was a conspiracy to defraud the United States.
And your motto nails it. There's a war on for your mind. There's a war on for the juror's mind. Because all that propaganda and all that conditioning all throughout their lives, the government just wants that to stick long enough to convict the defendant.
People like you.
But when you have somebody that can communicate your innocence, it snaps them out of that.
Let me ask you this. Going through the fire, but also getting to defend people like Joe, because I've noticed you only take cases where it's really clear that, you know, that the government's totally in the wrong there, and still that's an uphill battle. How good does it feel to actually find a niche in this increasingly corrupt world where you do get to do good work?
Well, I tell people all the time, I am an extraordinarily lucky individual, because we actually make a difference once in a while. And even moving more transcendently from helping Joe out and his family and avoiding 15, 16 years in federal prison, that would be gratifying. But we do get to make a difference on a larger scale. That's a blessing in today's world. You don't get to do that very often. We take it very seriously. It's humbling. I'll tell you one thing. Before the jury came back with the verdict in Joe's case, and I kind of leaned over to him and I said, look, you know, I don't know where this is going. We've got a pretty good feeling. But win, lose, or draw, when that jury verdict comes in, you know, we're going to be even keel. Don't let them do it to it. We're going to walk out of this the courtroom one way or the other with your head held up high. You're entitled to that. They can't take that away from you. If it's a victory, we'll celebrate outside. You know, And that was one of the most emotional moments of my life when that jury verdict was returned. That was
the special agent that investigated me. I want Bob to tell you what he said to Bob upon my acquittal.
Yeah, I came over to, I think it was Special Agent Breslin. There was Howard and Breslin. I went over to Special Agent Breslin, and I mean, he had tears running down his face, and he looked at me and he said, "Thank you, counselor, for taking care of our boy Joe." And I was just.
Because there they are pretty much even having to testify against him. Imagine the guilt they were going through.
Yeah.
Because when you do evil things, it comes back on you.
That's right. And it was a political prosecution, political persecution. Everybody knew that. And those special agents that used to work with Joe, they knew he was a man of integrity. They knew he didn't have any intent to commit any crime. And so for them,
in fact, he didn't want to commit a crime carrying out the IRS stuff.
That's right. So he has a crisis of conscience. But knowing who Joe was, and I was, that was unexpected. I did not expect that. To get a handshake and a congratulations counselor from one of the lead special agents, one of Joe's former colleagues.
Very exciting story. What about Wesley Snipes? I mean, you've had so many famous trials, and you got him to not go to prison for all the fake stuff.
Yeah, that was a really tough case because, we were in Ocala, Florida. Everybody thought that he couldn't get a fair trial down there. It was going to be an all-white jury, and it was an all-white jury. But I picked that jury, and I like that jury. I thought I picked some really thoughtful people down there. And the problem with representing a high-profile celebrity is the fact of their high profile. Everything changes. It becomes surreal. There's an entourage. There was massive media down there, and everything gets distorted. So we actually had to try that case outside the courtroom as well as inside. That's the big difference between a non-celebrity.
Yeah, so many small-time lawyers who aren't, super professional like yourself, they don't get, they're always, don't talk to the media. And I'm like, no, it's a media war. Oh. The prosecutors, they know that.
They're out there giving their press releases. Prosecution issued a press release that Wesley Snipes was a fugitive. And he was in Namibia shooting Gallo Walker, if I'm not mistaken. They don't have an extradition treaty at all with the United States. Wesley could have stayed in Namibia for a good long time. But his attorneys were negotiating with the government his surrender. So out there in the media and the jurors here, this potential jurors here, he fled. He's a fugitive. He won't come back. That's evidence of guilt.
That shows that fraud. I mean, they're saying he's a criminal. He's run when he hadn't.
We had to fight that. You have to go out to the media and dispel the misinformation and propaganda to get yourself back to a level playing field. And if you don't do that, you lose. And you lose bat, and Wesley goes to prison for 16 years.
That's well, I have a view of the law, not that I'm a lawyer, but I studied it a bit, that even if somebody's guilty, if the system cheats, the danger of the system cheating is more dangerous than a guilty person not going to jail.
Well, there's no question about that. And that's why the discovery violations and the cascading misconduct into federal courts particularly is crucially important to stop and to remedy. An exceptional event occurred. Judge Richard Tallman, a Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals judge after the Stevens case, issued an open letter to Attorney General Holder. Really an unprecedented event when a judge speaks to the executive branch at such a high level, and it's a public letter. And he says, look, Mr. Holder, we have got to do something about the discovery violations, the subordination of perjury, and the misconduct that's infecting our system. We have to have clear rules. There has to be a level playing field. That old axiom that we learn as school children is vitally important. We would let a number of guilty men go free rather than sacrifice the rights of an innocent man. That's our system. It's what separates us from despotic systems.
Amazing. Robert G. Bernhoft and Joe Bannister, both of them here with us. We'll give you their website straight ahead.
The answer to 1984. Is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Stuff to talk about. The websites to check out are agentfortruth.com. That's Joe Bannister's. And there's Robert or Bob G. Bernhoff's website, bernhofflaw.com. And I can tell you, if I ever have the collection agency for the Private Federal Reserve come after me, I know who I'm going to get right over here. I hope I can get him. You were telling me that I was saying, boy, I bet killing is their business and business is good for them. I bet you trying to save people, I bet your business is just booming.
You know, it is, and it's a bit of a mental torture because business is business, and in making a living, there's nothing to apologize for making a living.
But it's grueling, too.
It is. It takes its toll, and you deal with a lot of human road meat. The grist mill of the government, they grind people up, spit them out, don't look back. And it's particularly in trials where you have convictions, those are extraordinarily difficult. You get to know people very well over a 2-3 year period. And if there's not a good outcome at trial, you don't sleep very well for a very, very long time. I remember the good ones, and there have been plenty of those.
Because it's like a fight, isn't it?
It's absolute combat.
If you lose as a man, you really feel like you lost.
Oh, yeah. I disappear for several weeks after any trial, win, lose, or draw. I just got to disappear for a while and get my head together. You know, we use sort of symbolism of combat. It is. I called up the government in a case the other day. I said, boys, you all ready to sheathe your swords and stop the bloodletting? And they were kind of shocked by that, and they kind of paused for 10 or 15 minutes. And I mean, but that's what it is. Trials are combat. And I tell my clients, some of them really want to charge forward to trial, and there's too much machismo going on. And I say, look, a couple of things I want to mention. Number one, there's going to be blood everywhere, and we're going to measure the victors by the buckets of blood. That's reality at trials. And secondly, I always get to go home after the trials. So you have to have a sense of humility.
It's better to win the war strategically by never getting to the battlefield.
Oh, no question. And, of course, we do a lot of representation that nobody sees, doesn't make the news, where we're helping people out of audits, collection, criminal investigations.
Just letting the IRS know, hey, go pick on somebody else.
Well, I think there is an element to that because, you know, we practice aggressively but collegially and professionally, and I think my counterparts in the government that are opposite me respect that. So, yeah, I think we do help our clients just by entering the fray and solving problems rather than just trial work. We do a ton of other stuff that nobody sees, but...
Yeah, I've noticed that because I've got a really good lawyer here in town, and it just immediately gets people's attention. A lot of times, pretty big operation stuff comes up from time to time. Immediately, if you have a small lawyer, I mean, you know that, but for the audience, I'm just telling them that, yeah. That it really does matter.
Well, it does matter. And the other thing is that we're not, you know, increasingly a huge percentage of federal criminal indictments are resolved by plea agreement. And there's a huge coercion from the sentencing guidelines. I mean, you've got a businessman, he's indicted for tax. If he gets dinged with a felony count at trial, he does 7 to 8 years. Maybe the plea's 18 months, 24 months. So this has a hugely coercive effect to get pleas. Now, when we come to a case, we do trials. We're not afraid of trials, and we win a lot of our trials. So immediately, our government counterparts understand, okay, this isn't going to be a bagman plea case. This case could go to trial, and they start counting their cost and their risk. You know, what's the problem?
Yeah, they'd rather feed on a bunch of innocent old ladies, ruin their lives, grab wedding rings off their fingers, you know, just let them commit suicide, yeah. Than actually go up against people that'll fight back.
Absolutely.
They operate like muggers.
Well, easy targets. Easy targets, when you have a predator type of system, that those predators will go after the easy targets because it's the path of least resistance. And
well, you know what you're talking about because I've just experienced this 17 years on air and getting out there and doing stuff in the up against these crooks, and that's how I see it. Some of them are Dudley Do-Rights from my experience who are stupid and are made fun of by the higher-ups. That's really how this works. But these are just criminals on the top that know exactly what they're doing, and I don't know how they sleep at night wrecking the families, doing the things they've done to people.
Yeah, you know, the rationalization, justification for putting people in prison for double digits over tax. By the way, we're the only country of the so-called civilized industrial nations that has criminal tax at all. Criminal tax is the exception. Now, Russia, former Soviet Union, Russia, North Korea, China, you know, it's a wonderful series of countries that have a criminal tax regime. That's not good company. We should not have criminal tax in the United States.
That's my next question for you, and Joe, pop in any time. You know, they grab the kids in Russia, the orphans, train them to be tax enforcers, and they beat you up as well. So I guess it's the only country worse than us. Well, I mean, you're the expert. Is Russia worse than the U.S.?
Yeah, well, the Russian tax police, that's a whole different world.
Really a mafia, I mean.
It is. But the fact is that civilized nations, truly civilized nations, do not criminalize something like tax. If you owe the government money, the government has plenty of mechanisms to get that money from you. But to put people in prison for owing tax liability or not filing the proper form.
North Korea, China, Russia, Nazi Germany, not good company.
Well, you know, that's the company we're in. And I argued with David K. Johnson from the New York Times about that. He was appalled by my idea that criminal tax demonstrated we were uncivilized. Well, it does. And I've argued with Nathan Hochman, former Assistant U.S. Attorney General, Tax Division for the United States. He was appalled by that notion.
Let me ask you a question. I want to go back to the Wesley Snipes because we got cut off by a break, then we went off another direction. But finish up on this point. Is all the criminality and government coming out in triplicate and the fact that the IRS is giving out fake ID numbers and letting people steal and get fake returns, the illegals and all the rest of this, and then even blaming citizens when those get attached to Social Security numbers and using the fraud the IRS engaged in as a way to go grab citizens' bank accounts and things. I mean, is it making it easier for you to do your job as people begin to realize also that the ultra-rich basically have exempted themselves as well?
I think there is a general awareness, you know, and I'm not going to do an explicitly political thing. I like dissenters. I want more dissenters in America. I want more people that are going to rock the boat. So the Tea Party movement for me was a good thing because it showed that there could be a vibrant, robust political movement that wasn't party-centric. It doesn't matter whether I endorse what they believe or not. I like the communist workers. I like the Socialist Workers Party. I want people that are going to rock the boat and diselect Democrats and Republicans. And I think there's a mood in the country of deepening suspicion. I think Congress's popularity is down around, and I'm not trying to dismiss.
9%.
It's really low. These are huge problems. I mean, once you lose the consent of the governed, you don't have a legitimate.
You either go back to freedom or you go to North Korea.
Absolutely. And that's where we're treading. But I believe that there's an increasing awakening in Americans regarding suspicion of the system, suspicion of statements by government. And I think that's positive. I have hope that more Americans will recognize that these are political problems. They're not necessarily legal ones. We don't need more legislation. We need less. And they need to get out there and start voting for people who are going to be truly independent.
Well, I agree. Anybody that isn't in the cookie cutter mold is the way to go, just because it shakes up the system. This type of tyranny depends on a very smooth road to get away, you know, with the crimes. Let me bring this up. I also see this endless demonization of defense attorneys by media, by culture. Oh, they're the scum. They're the trash. From my experience, everybody deserves a good defense because government is the big danger. It's what killed more people in history than anything else. 262 million in the last century. University of Hawaii did a study on democide. It's the big danger. And I have found that it's the political prosecutors, because there's good prosecutors too that'll go to the wall to really get bad guys. But more and more, they just make deals and let them out. They want, I notice, these prosecutors to hammer down good people that are just trying to live their lives. And for me, that's why I thank God for the defense attorneys. And I see this move to try to demonize defense attorneys, quote, getting bad guys off, and letting it go to courts. Boy, if they do that, they've already neutered the grand jury. All we're left with is the cartridge box.
Yeah, there's a lot of pandering going on from mainstream media about defense attorneys and evil defense attorneys. Seems to be a general program of defamation. The fact is that in the criminal defense realm, we're accountable in open court on the record more so than any of the civil attorneys are. They can play games with discovery and engage in litigation thuggery, while we're always accountable on the record every 30 to 60 days for what we're doing and how we're doing it. My experience with the Federal Criminal Defense Bar is generally very positive. There's exceptions to that. And I notice you mentioned something, Alex, and I want to make a point about this. I know some really fine lawyers and fine men at U.S. Department of Justice Tax Division that I've been opposite in cases and local prosecutors who believe in what they're doing, who follow the rules, who don't violate the Constitution and laws of the United States respecting discovery to the defense. And really, one of the things that really bothers me is all of those good men and women that are actually inside the system and are behaving with integrity, they get stroked with all of this massive misconduct.
Well, that's the problem. The good people get out historically, and then the criminals create little armies that then expand and then take over.
Yes, when bad conduct is incentivized rather than disincentive, it does drive out the ethical and the good and the men and women that want to do a public service. Because there's bad guys out there. We live in a dangerous world. And I believe in law and order, even though I'm a libertarian, but I believe in law and order, and I'm an objective moralist.
That means law and order in the government first.
Absolutely. The government is the great teacher. We learn by them. If the government breaks the rules and gets away with it with impunity, what does that teach the citizen?
Fish rots from the head.
Absolutely.
Some things roll downhill. Joe, you've been sitting here. This guy's amazing. Because I've seen him on TV before. I was sitting here looking, like, well, I see this guy over television. He's impressive. I mean, we know why he's one of the best lawyers out there, I guess.
I just really.
How did you snag this guy? I guess because you're a good guy, too.
Well, a month or two after I resigned from the IRS in 99, really right around the same time that you first interviewed me, I get a call from this Bob Bernhoff from Milwaukee. And, you know, I was like a deer caught in the headlights. I just wanted to make a living to support my family and leave the IRS behind. But people were calling me and wanting to get in contact with me. So that's when I first met Bob and had no idea the extent of the monster that was out there eating people up. And so it helped me to understand that. And then I became involved in it. And of course, that's what led to the IRS, you know, really taking a disliking to me after I left, because I was trying to get into that apparatus. Actually, I was not trying to get into the apparatus. People wanted me to come in and help the effort.
No, I know you were drug into it.
I didn't want, I had enough of the IRS, frankly. But
I remember at first I was trying to get you back on the radio and stuff. And you're like, I don't know right now. I'm just, I might just be a CPA. I might blah, blah, blah. But now.
Well, you've been with me since the beginning, Alex. I mean, I was just, that was like March or
who was it? Was it Media Bypass you were first in?
Yeah.
Pat Shannon called me. That's right. Like, we need to get Pat Shannon back on. He was on my radio show talking about Oklahoma City being a staged event. And he said, hey, I'm doing a story on this, you know, Treasury agent who investigated things and woke things up. You ought to talk to him. And I said, okay, well, what's his number? And so I had gone out and interviewed you by the time his newspaper article or magazine article came out. Now that my memory gets refreshed, very exciting.
Yeah, that was the tax issue for 1999.
But you've now been through the fire, my friend.
Well, thanks to, unfortunately, you're not innocent until proven guilty. You need to find someone who can communicate your innocence. And I've just been blessed to have Mr. Bernhoft, Mr. Dick Stein, people that could communicate to the jury. No, the government really doesn't deserve that reputation for honesty and integrity that you think they have. Open up your mind and listen to the, and, you know, look at the evidence. And that's what it took. And they acquitted me. And
Mr. Bernhoff, let me ask you a question on this front. Can you bring in, let's say you were doing a trial right now of another, you know, agent, a whistleblower, somebody like our guest here today. What could you bring in the fact that John Corzine was allowed to take billions of dollars and say he doesn't know where it went? And then now they admit he really did give it to another bank. I mean, could you bring up, hey, the big bankers, they get to keep billions, but he hasn't done anything and he's in trouble? Or no. Is that not admissible?
No, it's not. You know, that stuff doesn't come in now. There's an old Supreme Court case that says that in closing argument, defense attorneys have to be given wings to soar. That's a great quote, and it's true. But you can only bring in testimony and evidence that's going to be relevant to the charges to either that tend to disprove them. We can bring in impeachment evidence against government witnesses, and we can certainly do
that. Could you say this same government lets John Corzine take billions that disappear, but then they want to send him to jail when he hasn't taken a single cent?
That can be done, and that can be done in closing argument. Closing argument in Joe's case was very, very aggressive. I mean, there was talk of jackbooted thugs and all sorts of interesting things. But no, you can do that. Testimony and evidence is one thing, but closing argument, you can draw parallels. You can put it to the jury that they've got a decision to make, that there's a double standard operating here, and that the government is not behaving correctly towards your client, the defendant, who's in the block and stands to go to prison for 15, 16 years.
Finishing up with Wesley Snipes, we got a final segment. You guys can talk about whatever you'd like. I'm just in awe here, you know, hearing all of this. You had gotten to the point of how they were trying to try the case in the media and claiming he'd run from justice. And I remember right away in the news, you guys went, this is propaganda. He was always intending to be here. Here he is.
Right. We had to, whatever jury was finally in that box in the courtroom, and I'll tell you something, Judge William Terrell Hodges was an excellent judge. He's very hard-nosed. But I'll tell you what, he was a great evidence man, a great evidence judge, and he gave us a fair trial. Now, we fought for that fair trial through motion practice, and there's a certain thing that happens between advocates and federal judges who preside over particularly criminal trials, and you either obtain a respect for each other or you don't. But nobody gets any respect in the federal criminal process by not being aggressive and advocating zealously for your client. But in the Snipes case, you've got to get people to reject that propaganda, the misinformation, and we consistently said, look, 12 people are going to be in that jury box, and they're the ones who are going to hear actual testimony and evidence, not rumor, not innuendo, not propaganda, and those are the themes that we beat. We drilled those themes, and we had to. I did a walk and talk with Steve Barrett, great reporter from Orlando, a TV station down there. And we pummeled back against this propaganda. If you don't do that, those jurors are going to go in there with absolute misinformation in their minds, and they won't pay attention to the actual truth, the actual testimony and evidence, and then you're in trouble. And that's when you lose, and that's when you get convicted. And that's what would have happened down there, no question about it. The other thing is, you know, there was some discovery violations in the Snipes case. Those never became really public. We were really put to it by the prosecution team. They were revealing sometimes hundreds of pages of crucial documents the day after a particular trial day at 5:30, and we had to spend all night mastering that material so we could step up the next morning. It was a very, very difficult.
They were hoping you'd be lazy and go back to the hotel and get a scotch, but you'd have to stay up all night.
I'll tell you something. People have a misapprehension of how trials work. Once you go, we call it going into the trial hole. You go into the trial hole, you are off the grid. Nobody, you don't even know.
If you're a winner.
Absolutely. You've got to be prepared to get a couple of hours of sleep a night, take it seriously, and the work is extraordinary. Nobody sees that. That's all that work that goes behind the scenes. Joe can testify to that. How many nights?
And the defendant
up to
better jump in and paddle along.
That's another thing. People think high powered lawyers, you know, because the media acts like they just show up in a helicopter and win because they're it's a real work.
And some of it's extremely tedious. You know, you got a case. The Snipes case had over 1 million pages of discovery documents. You don't master those documents, you're going to lose. And that's the sort of paging through page after page after page. I mean,
that's where the nuggets come from.
Yeah, I think you had, 58 boxes of discovery, a couple hundred thousand pages. So that's the sort of work that goes on behind the scenes. Trial success is a function of knowledge, skill, experience, but most importantly, mastery of the facts and the documents. If you're not willing to get dirty, roll up your sleeves with your team and your client like Joe, who helped us through his discovery, and drill down night after night.
Well, that sounds like life in general. I mean, the system counts on us just being lazy, buying the surface. We'll be right back. Final incredible segment with both our guests. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
There's a man going around taking names.
Ah,
and he decides who to free.
We're ending this segment, this interview, with a good song.
Won't be treated.
Johnny Cash, the When the Man Comes Around.
There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
When the Man Comes Around. Robert G. Bernhoff, probably the most... I mean, I can't think of anybody more preeminent than you when it comes to tax stuff. Honored to have you. And I can't think of somebody more honorable and preeminent when it comes to standing up for what's right. That'll make a movie about your life. Joe Bannister, agentfortruth.com, agentfortruth.com. And again, Bernhoftlaw.com, BERNHOFTlaw.com. We'll make sure both these get linked up at Infowars.com today. And if you're a radio listener on XM or on our 100-plus stations, by tomorrow... we will have this up on YouTube for everybody, not just people watching at PrisonPlanet.tv. And so please get this video and get it out to everybody. That's a question I have for you, Robert. When does the man come to town? Because you know, earlier you said we're treading water between North Korea and liberty. We're going to choose one or the other. We're going to go back the other direction towards freedom, or we're going to go down the black hole. I mean, is the man going to come around? People are waking up, but the system is deciding to go with tyranny. How do you see this with your considerable gravitas? How do you see this ending? I mean, what's your gut tell you?
Wow. That's a heavy and loaded question. It's a great one. In my sphere, putting aside from politics, if we don't stop, if we don't stem this epidemic of investigative and prosecutorial misconduct, we're in deep trouble. If our federal criminal process, it continues to be debauched by concealment and deceit, ethics violations, constitutional violations, it's over for the American Republic. I mean, we used to be sort of like the lighthouse on the hill, the example of great judicial systems. The whole world looked to the United States for our rules of evidence, of procedure, our process, our jury trials. We're losing that. We're becoming a laughingstock. Yeah, the great Americans, and look at, they can't even get a fair trial for a former sitting United States senator. If we don't stem it, if we don't...
Look at how they put that governor in jail in Alabama for no reason.
Yeah.
That was admitted to fraud.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about the former Senator Stevens prosecution, and there's thousands of these cases, that one gets all the publicity because he was a former U.S. senator, and that shifted the balance of power in the United States Senate. But when you think about the Stevens case, that was prosecuted by the highest level of Department of Justice in Washington, the Office of Public Integrity, OPR. They couldn't get that right. And they want to say that line AUSAs, assistant U.S. attorneys, really understand the discovery rules. This needs to stop. And responsible prosecutors are for changing the rules and disciplining prosecutors who do not follow the rules. Federal judges are getting sick and tired of
this. Well, what about when it comes out that we've got to do 5 minutes overdrive? You can do it just to finish up this little addendum we have, kind of like, you know, that little extra a reserve tank. What? How do they get away with this? Because more and more, it's just coming out that the sky's the limit. I think they're doing it on purpose, basically.
Well, the incentives are to win at all cost. And when you have an incentive to do that, people start breaking the rules. And then they start becoming rewarded for breaking the rules with conviction rates, promotions, and the things that they want. And then they recognize that they never get caught. And if they do get caught, they never get punished.
Well, you saw the case in Williamson County. It's a famous one where they knew the guy really didn't do it, but and they suppressed evidence and they tried to keep the guy in prison. I mean, how does somebody try to put into people who aren't even criminals? It's bad enough to set up an ex-con and send them away, but, well, they shouldn't have been out. But now it's just set up totally innocent people?
Yeah, you look at the prosecutor in the non-rape Duke lacrosse case, for example, which, of course, no rape occurred, and that was all politics by that prosecutor. He's the only prosecutor that's been meaningfully disciplined for massive government misconduct in a very, very long time. So what happens is, even if the judge makes what's called a judicial referral of a prosecutor to the bar association where that prosecutor has his license, the bars don't discipline the prosecutors.
Tell you what, back in 1 minute, a 5 minute overdrive. I've got to hear more about the lacrosse case. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
G. Bernhoft has been our guest with Joe Bannister for the last hour. He had Max Kaiser on earlier, breaking down the financial meltdown that's happening as a fraud in government and the big mega banks. Bernhoftlaw.com is the excellent website of probably the top tax lawyer out there. And then we also have Joe Bannister's website. You have several websites, don't you?
AgentForTruth.com. JosephBannister.com and FreedomAboveFortune.com.
And that's the original one, FreedomAboveFortune.com. Okay, we've only got 4 minutes left, overdrive here. Finishing up with other points that you think are important for people that we forgot to get to.
Got any?
Well, you know, you asked me a question before, Alex, about where I see things going. And that's always a tough thing to reach into the crystal ball and see it. But I'm really hopeful that particularly the young generations, I see my children, I see some of my age peers' children, they pay attention, they think more critically. I think we had a couple of lost generations. I'm hopeful that this new generation is paying attention. I know they are. I talk to my children's friends. These kids are engaged. I'm encouraged by all the youth that are supporting Ron Paul and backing Dr. Paul. And I know there's been some controversies with that, but the bottom line is I don't care which political tack they want to take. I want these kids to get out there, get awake, pay attention, and start holding people accountable in your local, your city, your county, your state government, your national government.
By the way, the system, you're right. You've got your finger on the pulse. They have been bemoaning that this new generation, 20 or under, really don't trust the government, and they don't like abortion, even though we push it. And they don't like corruption. They like guns, and they like freedom. Yeah. Well, yeah, they're rebelling against their control freak, North Korea-loving, weirdo, corporate commie parents.
And they're sick and tired of what they're watching on the TV, and that's why they're streaming to shows like this to get unbiased, different viewpoints. My daughters, they won't even watch the nightly news. They understand that that's absolute propaganda and corrupt propaganda at that. So I have hope for America. I think this generation that's coming up right now, between 15 and 25, they're going to make a difference. And it's our job. We're all older than they are. It's our job to set some leadership examples and give these kids something they can sink their teeth into, get politically active so that they know they don't have to become, you know, desperate and weary by the fight. We need to give them hope.
The fight's exciting.
It is.
Doing the right thing's exciting.
It sure is.
Robert G. Bernhoft, let me ask you this question in closing. We know what woke Joe Bannister up. What woke you up? How'd you get on this path?
I've always had a problem with authority, Alex. And I think that's true. this goes way back when I really despise and have a hatred for
bullies,
and for people who claim to have power that don't have the authority that's supposed to be behind the power, victimizing and abusing people who can't fight back. It's always been a problem for me. I think that's one of the reasons I'm motivated to do the work I do, and so that's how it works for me.
You're stopping bad people.
Yeah, and we're helping good people like Joe and people all over the country, and that's exciting. It's really a blessing to be able to make a difference.
I think all three of us are on the same page. That's why you got into law enforcement. I saw the police dealing drugs. I didn't even use them. I drank beer. I saw the police dealing drugs where I lived in Dallas, and then arresting people for drugs that somebody they'd sold to had sold them. And the cops would pull me over and want to search my car because I went a few years high school there and a few years here. That's why we had to move down here because they were threatening to kill me. My dad's lawyer called him and said, the word is they're going to kill your son if you don't move him out of the school district. And we said, well, whatever. We'll sell the dental office and move to Austin. My mom already wanted to. But in closing, I'm telling that story. And the cops would pull me over and I'd go, I don't deal drugs like you. They would get so mad. They'd arrest me for no reason. My dad come get me out. Yeah. That was my wake up.
Dangerous to be right.
I'm like, you're dealing drugs and you want to search my truck? Is what you're saying?
Just it's important to put the word out to all the people in law enforcement and government. You know, do a little anatomy. Remember your anatomy class? You've got this little bone down the center of your back. It's called your spine.
Exactly. And by the way, the cops that were doing that in Rockwall, Texas, 6 months after we moved out of there, they all got basically arrested for drug dealing by the feds, though, who we're actually bringing it in to begin with. Amazing interviews, gentlemen. Mr. Bernhoft, thank you so much for joining us. And, of course, Joe Bannister, you know we love you, brother.